Qualifier all 4 years that he's been at Mishawaka. Three-time professional, three-time regional, and three-time Opponent, 23-4, 117-29, with 61 Conference career, sectional and regional champion twice, a seven-state champion twice as well, and two-time state place winner. He's a two-time conference champion in the Northern Lakes Conference. Runner-up at 171 pounds a year ago. He's an academic all-state honorable mention and has committed to wrestling for Division I school, Cleveland State Vikings next year. Welcome, please, Bruce Draper! And what a time, Bruce Draper! At 215 pounds, representing the Cavemen of Mishawaka High School. Joined by coaches Derek Snyder and Fabian Chavez, from Jr., 44-3 on the season with 22 falls, sectional, regional, and seven-state championships as well. He's the conference champion in the NIC Conference and a junior all-state selection in football as well. Welcome, please, Richard Flynn! His opponent at 215 tonight comes to us on the stage of Belmont High School! Joined by his coaches, including head coach Brett Perot, the senior, 41-0 on the season with 21 falls, one stretch of 8-6 career victories against only 17 losses. Three sectionals and three regional championships for Strennan, also a three-time conference champion in the AC Conference. He's a five-time ISWA state champion, a state qualifier in 2007 at 189, a class 3A all-state defensive lineman, captain of the 3A state football champion from Belmont, and attending Marion College on a football scholarship. Welcome, please, Billy Baker! At 215, Clint Van Baker. At 285 pounds tonight, the Wildcats from South Berlin High School. Joined by coaches Todd Gilson and A.J. Haynes, this senior, 53-1 on the season with 35 falls, 163 career victories, including 103 of those by fall. Two-time state qualifier and two-time Big 8 conference champion, also a four-time ISWA postmile state place winner, including being the 2007 ISWA postmile state champion at 215. He made a 2008 regional qualifier in the shot put as well, and is the all-time wins record holder at South Vernon High School. This member of the Boy Scouts of America working for the Navy Scout is a 3.5 GPA and has made a verbal commitment to the Boilermakers of Purdue University. Welcome, please, Alexander White! His opponent tonight comes to us from the Golden Falcons of Winchester High School. Joined by coaches Grant Devon and Truett Jones. This senior is a spotless 38-0 this season with 31 falls, 145 career victories, and only 19 defeats. Three sectional championships, two regional championships, two seven-state championships to his credit. He's a three-time state place winner, including a runner-up spot in last year's tournament, a three-time play as the conference champion, and a four-time Randolph County champion. Welcome, please, Adam Shalfar!
All right, coach. That's the lineup right there. Face off. That's a good, pretty exciting matchup tonight. Yes, sir. Underneath. Yeah.
You know what, Lieutenant? Not a good idea.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the spotlight. Rise and move your hand to the presentation of our national and state flag, and remain standing for the singing of our national anthem. Our colors of the Senate tonight are North Central High School Army Junior ROTC Battalion. Cadet Command Sergeant Major Kyle Lewis, Command Color Guard. Lieutenant Colonel Sam Berman carries the national flag. Cadet Staff Sergeant Derek Duke carries the flag of the state of Indiana. And Cadet First Lieutenant Gabriel Rogers and Cadet First Sergeant Ethan Robinson are the rifle bearers. Ladies and gentlemen, singing the national anthem tonight are Rachel and Rayanna Biff, who are twin sisters, members of the track team, and sophomores at Carmel River High School here in Indianapolis. Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel and Rayanna Biff.
Cardinal.
Ritter High School.
Ritter. All right, Coach. 104-pound matchup. Cody Phillips, the freshman, undefeated, 48-0. Seems like he's had a rash of freshmen last decade.
He's wrestling Dusty Keith, Franklin County, sophomore. His credentials were pretty good, too, Coach. And he's a huge 103-pounder.
That's pretty good leverage. I like the way Cody Phillips gets in and out. I think the difference in this match is the pressure Cody Phillips applies, and how Keith can keep down block Cody, and maybe some storm and get a couple penetration shots in. But Keith definitely has to do some down blocking on Cody Phillips when he gets in and out. Try to cross in a little bit.
Well, I tell you, Bob Hoffman, the Franklin coach, he's about as good as coaches that come from lightweight to heavyweight. Because these teams are always so competitive. We're about ready to get started here. Mike Faulkner, probably the biggest opponent of referees, has got the match. He was tentatively scheduled to do the 215 match, but that's a Mishawaka kid, and he's from Mishawaka, so He opted out of it, and he got the 103 pound match. Here's the call. Coach, take it.
Well, right now, a lot of hand fight going on. Keeps slowly changes level, penetrates. Cody down blocks. Both come back to the feet. Phillips to the tower side. Working off the front corner. Tips him. Two behind. There's two takedowns. Keith is trying to roll. Cody breaks him down and stops his action. So Phillips is riding the crab bite action here. Riding the near half and near in the far wrist. Keeping pressure down. Keith's trying to keep solid position here. Phillips still applying pressure to half. Keith stands up, tries to grip the half off, trying to square in, square off, gets his one escape. The 2-1 match is about to go in the first period.
Keith, Phillips did a real nice tip and spin. Knocked him to his hip on a front headlock and then spun the other way as he was rebounding out of there. Pretty good technique for a freshman. Wow.
They come back to the middle for a fresh start. 55 seconds to go in the first period. Phillips changes his level. Drops in on a head outside single. Dunking. He has a...
Getting a count, Coach.
He's getting a count. Keith comes back to his base. There's a two near falls. It's a 6-1 match now.
You know, when he hit on that high cross, he anticipated a counter and he high-legged over and put him to his back.
There's a tip again.
Another tip and spin.
He goes really back the other way. Stepping over. Keith fights back. Comes back to his base, squares off.
Faulkner gave the two, so Keith is in control here. Or Phillips is in control.
Keith trying to hit a sucker drag on Phillips. Out of bounds, line to go out of bounds and come back to the center for a fresh start. 8-2 lead for Cody Phillips. 8 seconds to go in the first period. Whistle blows. Keith tries to hit a switch. Cody pressures back in. Covers the legs. Time expires.
10 points scored in the first period. Pretty good movement.
So Phillips defers and Keith chooses defensive position to start the second period. Phillips covers. Whistle blows. Keith comes straight to his feet. Phillips reaching through for a claw. Phillips jumps into a half. Keith reaches back, withers, squares off, hits his one escape. Keith on the head. So Phillips has an underhook. Keith rotates out, snaps Keith down, has Keith on his knees. Keith comes back to his feet, trying to rotate out in a sucker drag action. Phillips is trying to square off. On the out of bounds line right now. Both of them working the line, they call it out. Come back for a fresh start. 8-3 lead. Still up 121 to go in the second period. Whistle blows. Phillips moves in. High cross action again. He drops Keith to his back. He's getting near fall. He's going for the fall here. He has him tight. It's tight. He has a minute 7 on the fall.
Outstanding, high cross, two back.
You got 2 minutes and 54 seconds, Coach?
Yep.
Well, that's what I was kind of thought this match started. Keith was going to have to somehow down block him.
Cody Phillips.
And he just couldn't do it. Yeah, this is another string of outstanding young freshmen who's been in Indiana the last 10 years.
Boy, he hits in there in a high cross.
He's changing direction.
All right, here we go. 112 pounds. Josh Keeper, Rod Cowley, Anthony Hawkins in the red. With the CP on the back, Ron Cowley. In a blue singlet, he'll be in green anklets. Hawkins, a sophomore. or they got him listed as a junior here. Kiefer's a sophomore. Kiefer hits some shot, second leg shot to Hawkins' right leg from outside. Both guys staying real low, bent over in their stance, moving their feet. Hawkins snaps into a front headlock situation. Tries to pull him down. Kiefer trying to peel the hands, not going to the elbows. Trying to circle out of there eventually, and then he gets out of bounds. We'll have a fresh start with 1:32 in the first. Kiefer's coach is the Lance Ellis, four-time state champion from the Cathedral. Scott Blink, the head coach at Palm Point. Shot by Hawkins. But Kiefer does a good job of keeping it on the elbow. Kiefer won a 4-3 decision from Alex Gregory from Penn High School in the semis. Shot from outside by Kiefer. Fronted out by Hawkins. Drives into Hawkins. He's driving into him. Trying to look for a shuck, I believe, and then maybe bring him back down to the mat. Get a corner on it. We're near the out-of-bounds line. Both wrestlers are still in. Again, Hawkins has a front. And we go out of bounds with 41 seconds in the first period. Hawkins, body faking from the outside. Kiefer, a long shot from way out. Comes back up. Both wrestlers content with a non-contact, open ties. Now front headlock being applied by Hawkins. Kiefer hanging onto the elbows, circling up. Got to be careful he doesn't get knee picked or ankle picked. Hawkins drives him out of bounds with a fresh start.
It doesn't seem like either wrestler is covering the shot them very well. It seemed like they're pretty extended.
Yeah, they're pretty happy with standing from the outside and hitting from the outside. 13 seconds and counting. Referee is Bob Helm from Elwood. Calling the match, and that's the end of the first period. We have a 0-0 score. Flip goes up, and it turns up red. Hawkins will make his choice. He takes the down position to start the second period.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the conclusion of the state final this evening, the IFSA Executive
Coach, you watched Kiefer very much throughout the tournament today. His writing ability.
Yeah, Kiefer can ride pretty good. He kind of floated on Gregory in the semis, and I would imagine if, I know Hawkins got this little Gramby action from underneath. We go out of bounds, and he may be trying to set that up.
I know Father Crown Point kids are pretty good at that little series from underneath.
Yeah, they don't stop moving. They can ride, they can move from underneath, and they're pretty decent on their feet. Those are three essentials. Hawkins, on an inside leg stand-up and turn, skips out of there for a one-point escape. Exploding on the whistle is the best way to come out of there. And Anthony Hawkins doesn't waste any time. We've got 1:30 left in the second period. 1-0. Kiefer tried to hit them out. Hawkins on a shuck. Now he's got him in a frontal again. Making it very difficult for Kiefer to get underneath him. Hawkins will be content with knee picks and go behinds from this position, I would imagine. As we go out of bounds with 1:13 in the second left.
Say, this is a Hawkins pace match, so he's had a lot of 1-2 point wins this whole season. He just knows how
a low shot by Kiefer that was close to a rolling start, but he got away with it. Hawkins counters him up, jerks him up into a front, tries an inside trip off a front headlock. That bangs him down. Right here, mobilizing him. Now he's got to shorten the arms up and try to get his go behind. So most of this match has been spent on our feet with the wrestlers engaged in front headlock positions. Hawkins can pick up the pace in the third period. I saw him do that in last week's semi-state. He wrestled pretty much a similar match. And then in the third period, really, really picked up the pace. There's his shot. He's getting on a single, 38 seconds left, trying to build position. Cornering it now. Now he's got the leg semi-tabled, I guess. comes up to his feet in a high single position, tries to cut him back, trying to slam the leg out, tries to kick him back. Now he centers him up. Nice job. You got to be careful. You don't get ankle picked on the way back. 15 seconds. Hawkins elevates the leg even higher, runs behind him. Keeper hits the switch. Neutralized. The whole situation. 7 seconds left and counting. No takedown. Out of bounds. 2 seconds left.
Wow.
Keeper, good job of powering.
Great flurry action there.
Did not concede the takedown. Went right into a switch. And Helms held his call. 2 seconds in the second period. And time expires. We'll go down in the third. Keeper will probably take the down position. Try to tie the match up.
Well, it keeps him up underneath now. Get the one escape. It's going to be a fight. That's a battle on their feet.
1-3 award. All right, Keeper, get your feet. Isolates the hands and cuts away for his point. Now it's a 1-1 match, 153. A lot of scrambling takedowns.
Ooh. Hard contact.
Keeper went real high. And Hawkins, Keeper was in a wizard situation and tried to throw the leg in on the backside for control points. And Hawkins drove him out of bounds. Referee didn't see control there. Keeper's a pretty slick wrestler. He's wrestling his pace of match. He doesn't want to tie up with Hawkins, I don't think.
33 to go in the third period, Coach. Non-contact wrestling going on right here.
Now we got a 2-on-1. The wrist ties by Keefer. He climbs the elbow into a solid 2-on-1. Now he loses it. Hawkins is banging on his head. High crotch by Keefer. Cuts the corner. Changes to a double. And Anthony Hawkins did a nice job of cornering. Went into a single leg. And we went out of bounds. Good flurry of action with 1 minute left in the match. But this one could be destined for overtime. Lance Ellis and Ron Calipos trying to get the crowd into it. A couple body fakes by Hawkins. Keefer shooting from out. Hawkins got him down on his knees. Keefer rebounds out of there. Wrist pass. Duck on this. Duck under by Hawkins. He's behind him. Now he's got to take him to the mat. Immediately, Keefer hits the switch. Hawkins. Out of bounds, no control, and Scott Blink wants a discussion with Robert Helms. And the head official, I think, justifies the call. So Anthony Hawkins hit a duck under with about 45 seconds left, got behind him, went around his waist to take him down, and it went out of bounds. His keeper and hit another switch in action. Keefer goes immediately into the switch whenever they hit the mat, which is a good movement because he keeps his hips moving. There's a down block by Hawkins. Again, we're in a front position. Frontal position with about 8 seconds left. And it looks like we're going to go sudden victory here. And it goes into overtime.
Right now, by Keefer is giving the penetration, and Hawkins is actually coming off of counteractions right now. Keefer can secure one of those penetrations. I think Keefer really has the advantage right here.
Yeah, I think Hawkins wants, he likes wrist ties. He likes to hit from the tie-up position. Keefer wrestles a lot like the old two-time Olympian John Smith. He stays low. Makes it very difficult to penetrate. Very heavy head-shoulder lead. A real exaggerated right leg stance. Right leg lead. Keefer with a rolling start gets a caution. We got 40. And he might have hyperextended Hawkins' knee a bit. Which is the danger of that rolling start. Hyperextending that knee, lead knee. 37 seconds. Keeper still out. Both wrestlers pretty much stand right out in front of you and try to get you open up with body fakes and wrist ties. Not engaging very deep into elbow ties. Now we've got a front headlock.
Booster,
double leg.
He stepped out.
And we're out of bounds.
He stepped out.
Keeper was out.
Good call by official.
Keeper was out, but Hawkins' hips were in.
And then
his hips slid out on the line. His hips were his supporting point, which is a pretty good call by Helms. Got about 12 seconds left. This could go to tiebreaker criteria. Keeper again tries to take a power duck on the left side. And now we got tiebreaker criteria. Here's the flip. It goes up and it goes to Hawkins. He'll take down. Remember, it's 2 30 second periods.
I think the man kind of neutralizes this. Match a little closer. I think Keeper seems to be a little better on his feet.
Well, it might come down to riding too, Coach. There's a stand-up by Hawkins. Keeper pulls him into a crab ride. Got a head lever. Riding top. Now Hawkins tries to high leg over. Keeper riding tough. Scrambling. 19 seconds left. Keeper looked like he wanted to go into a head lever action there. Right in the hips of the deep waist. Hawkins moving on the whistle. Hawkins tried to stand up, and Keeper trying to pull him into his lap. Now he gets all the way up, and high legs out, kicks out. First 1 point escape. 15 seconds in counting. In the first of 2 30-second tiebreakers. Hawkins shooting from out. And we got a stoppage. We got blood. I believe it's blood green. And that would be Keeper from Ron Connolly. We have a break in the action here. 2-1. Tell you what, this match, I had a feeling it was going to go all the way to extensions, as they call it in Oklahoma.
Well, you look up and down the lineup here, and all the cats are gone today this week. It just seems like every match is going to be 3-2, 8-6, tight matches. It's up and down the lineup.
Yeah, both wrestlers have a pattern in their history of just wrestling tough matches. And at this level, you kind of expect them, Coach.
Well, Keeper defeated Gregory 3-2 in the semi. And Hawkins defeated Nelson 8-6. And then Nelson defeats Gregory 4-3 in the third and fourth place match. So there's a lot of
tough matches
this weight class all the way through.
At this level, they don't want to make a big mistake. Shooting them out or not getting spoken up before they make their shot. All right, we're ready to go here. We got the blood all cleaned up. 6 seconds left in the first tiebreaker. The next tiebreaker will be Keeper's choice. They'll take the down position. Try to tie this match up or maybe even win it with a reversal. Keeper got out pretty quickly in the regulation. All right, Keeper's set. He's still moving, though. Helms is going to caution him for that. He retells him that, hey, you got to stay still. And that should be a call.
Yeah, I see that, Coach.
Okay, Hawkins gets on. Keeper tries a little bit of a switching action. Hawkins riding with a deep waist in a spiral. Keeper on his feet. Hawkins goes rear clutch. Hawkins still in control. Got a single leg. Keeper kicks out. Hawkins back in on the leg. Hanging in on the... This may be stalemated rather quickly here. Now it's gone too far. Hawkins and Keeper both tied up. Hawkins has got to ride him out. And that's it. 2-1. Anthony Hawkins rise out, shot Keeper for the title in a second tiebreaker. Anthony Hawkins, Crown Point, sophomore, is your state champion in the 112 pound weight class.
On top of the heat of State Farm 12, Crown Point, Anthony Hawkins.
What a match, Coach. Great match.
Well, okay, Keith has nothing to stand about. He
no, sir.
Standing wrestling match.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to turn our attention here to the awards podium, where we're going to give the top eight 103 pounders.
Presenting championship medals this evening are members of the IHSA Executive Committee, the Cox of Beach Road, Jenna Clarissa of Merrillville, Mike Wilson of Blueville, Phil Ford of Eddie County, and Jeff Pittsburgh of the
Coach, I only hope that the heavyweights can keep up their fair share of the deal here.
Well, Coach,
because
I'm pretty
the first two matches have been really exciting.
I'm pretty sure 119 is going to follow suit here. This is an epic battle right here.
Two former state champions. Right, state champ last year at 12, Effort a couple years ago, wasn't he?
Got 103.
So, or Effort beat Wright at 103 2 years ago.
Effort has four losses coming out of Wright with two, and I'm pretty sure most of those losses are to each other. So they obviously know each other very well.
Runner up at number three,
just wondering if they have any chips in their bag to pull out today.
Pick
up a few things with some filming.
I think you got to do some adapting, you know.
State champion from Union County High School. Well, Cam Effort is huge. He looks like a big 119.
He's huge, and he's long and lanky. And you got Timmy Wright, that's a little, or Brandon Wright, a little, I told him Timmy is dead. Little shorter with a little bit more explosive muscle fiber, I guess.
Camden Effort's pretty slim.
One more time. From Evers to Highland, Camden Effort. And from Indianapolis to Beacon,
here we go. Shake hands, upload the whistle. Couple early head ties. Battling back and forth. Camden snapping right. Wright's maintaining position. They're going to turn towards the out of bounds. When they go out of bounds, ref brings them back to the middle. Whistle blows. Wright working the head snaps. Kind of knee tap, fake action. Cameron comes back with a fake knee tap of his own. A little fly-by elbow pass for Wright. Nothing really happening, though. Just a lot of hand fighting, but no true level changes yet. Wright kind of drops down a little bit. Camden pulls him back up, they go out of bounds again.
Big difference in the hand fighting abilities between these 19 pounders and the last match 12.
A little touch and go action here. Wright gets the collar tie. Camden's on an overtie. Camden changes level. He hits a single. Wright tries a backspin. Camden's still in on the head inside single. Then got the far ankle trapped inside. Wright's trying to wizard down, pressure down, break Camden's position down. Camden's maintaining head inside single. Wright's reaching the cross lock and trying to break Camden's position down still. Left call stalemate, bring them back, both back up for a fresh start.
Wright tried to 360 that spin. Much like Ian Hinton did the other night in the Corp match at Michigan State Purdue.
Right in our front quarter, Camden changes level and right down block front quarter. And Camden controlling the overhead elbow. Wright trying to cut the corner. And Camden hooks the inside leg single. Right maintaining front quarter. Look, he's trying to reach. A little bit of a shrug action there. Both come back to their feet.
was on about 17 seconds to go in the first period.
Neither guy giving an inch here as far as the tie-ups.
No contact right now. They're working into each other now. Once again, Rice in on a front quarter action again. Camden clears it. Camden takes a 2-on-1. Wright drives through for a double action. Camden withers off and kind of fires.
Both wrestlers real intent in controlling the tie-ups. This is like to see.
Camden wins the toss and he chooses the defensive position to start the period. Being a 0-0 match, it was a good choice. First point scored is crucial in overtime. Camden's down with the blows. Camden goes to a sit action, a switch action. Wright drives through with a double. Keeping Camden flat. Camden building his base back up again. Wright still riding tough. Hit a double thigh pry. Working off to a single. Wright gives him the one. There's the 1 point. Camden takes the 1 point lead. Again, they're both intent on hand fighting. Little head snap, head pull down action by Camden. Underhook trying to pull Wright's head down. He tries to throw by, out of bounds. No point scored. A minute 29 to go in the second period. 1-0 lead for Camden. There's a shot from outside on Camden. Once again, Wright jumps in on the front quarter. I think he's trying to reach this for a knee tap type action. Camden comes out with a 2-on-1. Both clear position again. Wright working the head. Working the head. Little ankle pick type action off that. There's an attempt to head inside single by Camden. They both go out of bounds. Still a 1-0 lead for Camden with 1 minute to go in the second period.
This match is kind of deja vu there 2 years ago when they were at 103, right?
It sure does look like that.
And I think Wright hurt his elbow at the end of the match.
50 seconds to go in the second period. Wright with a 2-on-1. Camden with a 2-on-1 drives Wright out of bounds with it. 40 seconds to go in the second period. Camden with a collar tie. Camden pulling Wright. Wright changes his level, tries to drop in on a double. Camden on a single leg, head inside single. Wright's got the wither. Camden's trying to drive pressure into it. Wright's trying to block down, break the hand. So Wright's blocking down, hipping into it.
Is he going to a key lock there? No, he's just there's a wither.
Wright spins out. They'll square off into each other on their feet.
Wow, Coach, there's an old cliche that about the 4 minute mark, one of these athletes is going to break, but I sure don't see it.
Well,
they both look like they're wrestling pretty tough right now.
They've wrestled each other enough to know what they have to do to beat the other opponent, and obviously the 4 minute mark is not in the equation for either one of these guys. They probably know that already, Coach. So Wright starts down. Camden jumps into a trying to put a leg in. Wright comes to his feet. Ref stops, potentially dangerous. So fresh start.
Camden, Epper's going to make him earn his point. He's not going to kick him out like Wright did with him, I don't think.
So Wright set. Camden covers. Whistle blows. Wright goes into a crab ride type action. Tries to suck Wright in. He's got a leg in. They're both legs in. Trying to bump Wright down. Wright's trying to tripod up. Wright does stand up. Official stops the match. Potentially dangerous. Brings them both back to center again.
Heppard's coach wants a star on the line, but they're going to still make that charge. All right.
Wright set again. Heppard covering. There's the whistle. Double thigh pry on the whistle by Camden. He throws a leg in.
Now we got a warning. Now we got a warning.
I guess I kind of agree with the leg was going in first and then Wright said it. What's the call on that?
That could be called either way. In the opinion of the official, if you got to your feet and then the guy throws him in, then it's a warning. If the first time was stalemated. However, I have seen
I've seen a car the other way, too.
Not sure which...
Where the bottom man would stand up intentionally because he's got the leg in to get the stalemate.
It looked to me like Campbell was trying to run the leg and the right was trying to stand up at the same time.
So probably should have been called a stalemate, but...
But the official, maybe he's going to try to create some more action instead of the same situation happening over and over. So there's the crowd right action. Effort follows. He gets the leg hooked in. Wright's working the ankles, trying to throw the leg out. Effort's on his hip. Comes up back over the top again. Effort's attacking the wrist, trying to extend Wright and break him down to the mat. They're rolling on the mat. They roll out of bounds.
Timmy Wright did the... Brandon Wright did the... Best thing he can do is get out of bounds, get a fresh start.
So 1 minute to go in the third period.
He's got to change his philosophy underneath. Maybe hit in a short sit, but if he short sits, he'll probably get crabbed.
Okay, he's just trying to test the leg, but of course,
yeah, just
the crab right comes in and he's bumping his arm forward, not allowing him to lock the leg out.
He's not going to call anything here. Right, knee problem. Well, injury time.
There's your call right there. It was a 5 minute mark, though. Is this where Camden get the advantage?
I don't know, but it's giving them a chance to regroup. It's giving Wright a chance to regroup here. This is an opportune time for the Cathedral coaches to change the strategy underneath. He may do, like you said, double five block, maybe try to catch the leg. I'm sure his father is coaching him up right now. Mama Sean McGinley.
Again, they roughly tell us so much. A lot of action up front, but that's only 1 point score.
Okay.
You know, they tell us so well. Maybe some type of change of action here for one of these wrestlers may be the difference of the match.
About 38 seconds of injury time, right.
So Camden covers again. He goes back.
Into the crab.
Crab ride. Trying to suck right back. Wright's trying to post up, maybe step over the leg. Got an official block in my view here, but Wright's coming to his feet. Effort set him.
48 seconds in the match.
So no call on the official. Wright coming to his feet again with Effort had the legs in. Wright set, Effort covers, whistle blows. Effort instantly in on the leg. Wright tries to stand up. Is Wright going to get the call this time?
Warning.
No, he's not giving it. He's going to talk to both wrestlers. No, he's not.
No.
He's putting right down again. No call. 44 seconds to go. Effort up by one. Effort covers. Whistle blows. Effort.
Inside switch.
Effort switches off the ankle, and Wright tries to inside switch it. So Effort's pressure. There's a lot of shoulder pressure driving back into Wright.
Now he's on that ankle.
Moves back forth, back in the crab ride again. Wright trying to post up and step over. Effort follows, still on top, 20 seconds to go. They go out of bounds, 19 seconds to go in the match. A lot of action in this match, only 1 point scored. Wright set, Effort covers, whistle blows. Wright comes to his feet. Effort drives him back down again with his ankle. Effort's driving him with the shoulder.
Wright's
trying to work into the top. Camden has the... Oh, the pitcher's going stalling on Effort.
Thank you, judgment call, coach.
Was he avoiding wrestling?
Hey, stand back on the ankle.
Stand back on the ankle. Yeah.
I don't see any change. I think Andy Wood, he consulted with Andy Wood, the mat official, and he confirmed it.
So 1-1, Wright has 7 seconds to get the escape to win a state championship. He comes up to his feet. Effort
got that ankle pretty solidly.
Effort hanging on, time expires. We're going to go to our feet. Another victory here. They're on their feet. Wright changes level. Both on the hand time, they're fighting. Effort changes level, they go out of bounds again.
Everything it's built up to be. What a match.
Epic battle. The whistle blows again. The post and head post and shoulder post on this. Now we'll pass by right. Epic changes level. He's on a single. He changes up to a seatbelt type action. Wright digs inside. They step out of bounds. 36 seconds to go. First overtime period. Sudden victory. They come back to the middle. Fresh start. Whistle blows. Epic changes level. He's on a single. Wright Rizzo blocking down. Putting pressure down on it. Epic slamming the leg up. He shouldn't be. He ducks driving it backwards. He's trying to step over the leg. He's trying to make a limp arm out. There it is. He's going to drive through a double. No, he can't get the double. He's still got the single. Wright's blocking it down. Wizard keeping a lot of weight down on it. Keeping pressure down. Wright tries a 360 spin. Wright has upper hip.
Watch the knee. The knee's coming to the outside.
Upper's still on both ankles.
3 seconds.
Wright's still on the...
2, 1... Of course, this is the first day of the sudden victory. 2 30-second tiebreakers.
Well, this match is with the price of admission, folks.
Effort's choice. And we got blood time. We got it on the mat. Effort's going to take blood time here.
So Epic's gonna...
Yeah, I know. Tough. But it's fun. We are Rex Brewer from one of the local radio stations. Tell me I'm not going to last those. Okay, let's go at this rate. Okay, here we go.
Epic comes down, Wright covers, whistle blows. Epic comes to his feet, Wright tries to head him. Head inside, trying to get a head inside single.
Right, maybe. Right,
he's out behind, he gets the reversal. There's two reversals. 19 seconds to go in the period yet. They continue wrestling. Wright comes to a seat. Wright stops the match. So Wright's going to be down. Defensive position, he's down 3-1 now. 14 seconds to go in the period. Wright down, Epic covers with the blows. Epic jumps into the grab ride again. Wright's trying to post up and step over that. Trying to fight the hands off. Trying to clear his feet, maybe he can step over that leg. Epic hanging on the grab ride, clear it in. And now it's going to be Wright's choice. He's going to go defensive position. So he's down two with 30 seconds to go.
Epic's coach is over there, one but not two in him.
The right set, Epic covers with the blows, Wright comes straight up, Epic working the ankle.
Look at that knee.
Wright gets the one escape. There's a level change by Epic, he comes back out on it.
Nice in and out there by Epic. Change level, bang into the leg and came right back to his feet.
18 seconds to go, Wright needs a score here. 17 seconds. Epic maintaining the solid position. He may get a warning here. He's just back. He's circling back in there. There's a level change of Epic again.
Right. Looked like he was going to step around laterally.
Epic moving backwards. He got out of bounds.
Oh,
4 seconds to go. He'll come back for a fresh start. 4 seconds. There's going to be a caution on Wright. Epic level changes. Secures the leg. Over the side, there's the time, there's the state champion, Cameron Epic. 3-2. Epic battle.
What a match. 3-2 tiebreaker.
Coach, how do we keep following next matchup of these matches? It's another thing to follow up with the same intensity level.
I think Rex Brewer is right. I might not make it through these. Okay, here we go. Awards will be presented for the 112-pound wrestler. And while they're going through that, we'll go through this next matchup, 125 pounds freshman from Crown Point. Jason Furtzis. He'll be repping John Gray, Cathedral. Gray, 44-4, and a senior. Churches, 39-2. Jason Churches, he defeated Cash Taroga at 125 in the semi, 5-4, to advance to the final match.
Well, we talked earlier, Coach, we might use his shades, but Jason sure looks a lot like Alex. I feel like I'm watching Alex in the freshman stand there. He looks exactly like Alex in the freshman.
Alex is freshman year, I can remember him, was doing what Jason's doing right now, bouncing constantly. A little bit longer hair. Had a tremendous tilt series. Remember how he killed anybody from anywhere? Where Jason tends to be a little bit more physical on his feet, maybe not more physical, but he likes to bang on his feet. And not quite the depth, I don't think, as Alex was as a freshman on turns, on tilts.
Fat ride.
Oh, he was super on that tilt.
Yeah.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
So we'll see.
But I think that Jason, because of Alex, maybe a shade better finisher on his head than on his shot. Some of the finishes he had hit on Colorado were pretty impressive.
Well, we can't count this great kid out either. I mean, he's a senior. Okay, take care. We can't count this great kid out either. I mean, he's rough and tough. Get through that lower part of the bracket. Justice with a front headlock. Really pressuring in on the low front headlock. Trying to pressure in so that when he pressures back, he can maybe shuck him. Surtis leads with his left hand because his left leg is back. This is inside boot scoop attempt off an elbow tie, which is similar to a little duck under. Now he's got Gray into a front headlock. Gray controlling both of Surtis' elbows. And Andy Wood, the referee, he's being assisted by Mark Miller, called stalemate. Start back up on his feet. Gray changing levels pretty well. Surtis pretty much loves the contact. Jams an underhook now, controlling the backside elbow. With his left arm, he's got an underhook. He will hit that high crotch off that as he pushes in, trying to react. Now he pulls into a front headlock. Surtis jamming into him. Now he shortens the elbows, goes into a leg attack of his own, and cuts the corner on it. Notice how he hides his knee.
Hook the heel, there it is. He hooked the heel and tried to spin through.
Gray's got him crotch locked, but he's trying to hook the heel to extend in
for
control. He will turf you out of this, and he's got the takedown. Jason Curtis, with 39 seconds in the first period, he's got a 2-point takedown. Now he goes into a tight waist. There he goes, the Alex killed, I guess. Now he throws a leg in on the top side. Got Gray broken down on his belly. And will continue to work maybe a Turk. Referee Andy Wood is motioning a potentially dangerous hold. Oh, I see why he's got a chicken wing on his left side here now. So Simpson's got a wing in on the left side with a leg in with 5 seconds. And it looks like that's the way the period's going to end. And with a Jason Simpson's takedown as we go into the second period. So Simpson scores on a nice flurry of high crotch heel trip. Go behind. Gray wins a flip, defers. Surtis takes down with a 2-0 lead. Wood sets him. Surtis with a short set. Crab ride by Gray. Surtis catches the leg, blocks it down. Stays in a little bit of a ball. Does a nice job of counter defense and throws a leg out, stands up, cuts away. 1 point escape for Jason Surtis. Nice job of blocking the legs out. Any young wrestlers out there watching this, you've got to go to school on this kid, because leg defense is one of the toughest things to teach. We got a stalemate and go back up on our feet. So Jason Surtis gets an escape. We start back up on our feet with 1:35 left. Surtis with a light hand on the left side, underhooks with his left arm, controls the backside with his inside tie. Pushes into him with his underhook.
trying to keep his right arm, his attack arm, free. Now he bangs him down to a front headlock, pulls him into his hips and runs behind and gets the score.
He's run that third time, that third action.
His short offense is really tough. I'd say at this point, he might be a little bit ahead. He's probably learned most of his front offense from Alex. Now he's got a Turk on great bottom leg, and he's trying to cross-face him to his back near the out of bounds. 50 seconds in it, and he's got a count. He's got a two count. He's right on the line. He got a three. So Jason Sursis opens up a barrage of points here with a two-point takedown and a three-point near fall. Motions to his coach. I want to cut him, coach. Gives him the escape. Now we go 8-1 on our feet. Jason Sursis feels real comfortable right now with a seven-point lead. Front headlock, bangs him down, tucks his head, runs the corner, reaches around the waist. Now he goes to the ankle. He's going to get his two-point takedown here. Goes into the waist attack, and Gray tries to turn in on a switching action, inside switch. Sursis will go into his Turk off this action here. He's got the leg Turk, the bottom leg. He'll work it above the knee eventually. Now he's taking the cross face, trying to turn into his back with 10 seconds left in the second period, and a 10-1 lead. Jason Sursis in firm control of this match. And the period comes to a conclusion. It'll be Gray's choices. He deferred in the second.
Well, right now, it just seems like Gray's catching everything certain thrown at him. Not really throwing much of an offense aggression back at him.
Churches takes a down position. So we get a start here. We got quite. Gray deferred to Sursis in a second. Because I saw Andy Wood look over at Mark Miller, and Mark Miller kind of turned his back. But that's the way they're going to keep it, I guess. John Gray is in the top position. Sursis takes down, hits the short sit again, and he goes right into a leg block defense in that short. Now he goes to the head. Oh! Puts him on his back. Jason Sursis had a little bit of a cradle action. Instead of blocking the legs out that time, he tried to catch the head and high bridge into him in turn and got his reversal.
So you got a 14-1 score right now.
And did he get any back points on that, coach? I don't think he got any back points.
He's awfully close to a tech ball here, coach.
14-1. Jason Sursis has exploded about midway through this match with the barrage of points once he got his second escape. Now he breaks Gray down by attacking the hips. Got a real deep, tight right arm around the waist. I'm not sure what he's trying to work here. He's trying to work an inside leg lift Turk. Boy, I tell you what, he is tough. He's got the Turk again. It's like clockwork. This kid is running the Turk series to perfection. I know at the intermission, Coach Smith asked me a little bit about Jason Sursis' Turk, and I didn't realize he went to it as much as he does. So now we have a 14-1 deficit for John Gray of Cathedral. Jason Sursis gives him a point for an escape, giving him two. Now it's 14-2. We'll start on our feet, third period. Sursis, head tapping, goes into his underhook, pulls him into a front headlock. Now he'll probably bang him down and shorten his elbows and run behind.
There's the bang, he tries to pitch action.
If you watched him enough, you know he's pretty predictable, but trying to stop this stuff is another story for John Gray. As he goes into an elbow tie, searches with an elbow tie of his own, tries to boot scoot on the left side. Now he's got a front headlock, a high front headlock. Now we're down, as Gray attempts a shot, we're down in the low front headlock position. Sursis trying to shorten his arms, run behind. We go out of bounds with 24 seconds in the bout, and a 12-point lead by Jason Sursis, 14-2.
That may be the first attempt of a shot.
There's a power duck attempt by Sursis, where he gives you the illusion he wants to tie your left shoulder up and then pulls it back. Bangs the short arms and runs behind him, escapes, gives him an escape. So now it's 16-3. I don't think he realized it was that short of time. He's going to try to get another takedown. Sturgis just jams an underhook with his left arm. Pulls him down, shortens the arm. Tucks the head and time runs out. So your champion at 125 is Jason Sturgis from Palm Point High School. He's their second state champion here in the final. And Anthony Hawkins won at 12. Jason Sturgis raises both fingers. We'll see him in the next few years to come. John Gray admirably had a good tournament from Indianapolis Cathedral to runner up. Well, this next match. This next match pits Frankie Porras and DeMarcus Spencer from Pike High School down in Indianapolis. Porras from Holbrook. I believe Spencer is a four-time state qualifier, but he never made it through the first day other than today. So it's quite a feat for, it's been a long road to hold for DeMarcus Spencer. Coach, your take on this match?
Well, I was pretty impressed with DeMarcus Spencer's ability to snap and move and wrestle the corner. But the thing I like about Porras is his non-stop moving in. Coming to his opponent, and he's looking at his head snap by DeMarcus and pulling in again. Still attacking the head. You know, just by snapping, spinning in type fashion. And he keeps attacking the head. DeMarcus really long arms and really reaches up there and gets a good pull down the head. Strong arm. Of course, is trying to fight through DeMarcus's arm. So arm snap action there. Clear it out. Forrest is moving back into DeMarcus now.
DeMarcus is not going up there with soft hands. He's really pounding hard down on the heavy hand on the head.
That may be why he's so effective at snapping and spin behind. He gets guys' forehead, you know, falling to the mat, and he's rotating behind them as they're falling. That's why he developed that over time with that type of action he runs. So DeMarcus attacking the head again. And pull the head down. Forrest is just trying to keep his head clear so they have room to penetrate, but DeMarcus with a little throw-by action there. Again, Forrest is moving in, kind of like we thought would happen. DeMarcus trying to pull the head down.
I thought Forrest would try to go off for a 2-on-1 a little bit more. Unless he's going to change his attack later in the match.
Forrest is trying to work an inside knee hook right there. Looks like maybe an elbow pass. There it is, right there, the elbow pass. Looks like drive through it. Forrest had to drag his toes with no avail. And this way, probably the elbow pass is coming. It came.
He's tough on that elbow pass, isn't he?
So Forrest, again, moving into DeMarcus. DeMarcus has to get his hands on Forrest's head early, or otherwise Forrest is clearly in an advantage situation. Again, now DeMarcus is on an underhook type action. That's really not his game. His game is getting on the edge.
Forrest is definitely moving forward constantly. So he may get a throwing call here.
A little super duck action by Forrest. Double pass. Oh, now Forrest is getting on the head and dropping down to the arm. Again, Forrest is in a situation for his elbow pass stuff. Again, Forrest moving in like he's taking DeMarcus out of his game. He's not able to get his heavy arms on Forrest's head and snapping down. By moving in DeMarcus, Forrest is taking away DeMarcus's game. Again, Forrest is continually moving in to DeMarcus. DeMarcus trying to double under. Forrest controlling the elbows. DeMarcus in a front headlock, standing front headlock. Like Forrest trying to control the elbow, Forrest gets a stalemate. End of the period. DeMarcus, looks like it's Forrest's choice. He's going to choose defense since it's a 0-0 match in the first period. He's going to try to get that one escape and get that all-important first point in the match just in case of an overtime situation. So Forrest set, he's down. DeMarcus is covering. Mark Miller from Rochester calling the match. He blows the whistle. Forrest is coming up to his feet. DeMarcus lodges his hand, trying to elevate. Forrest working the hand. He's locking down. He's trying to throw the hand. DeMarcus still shifting over. Forrest still coming to his feet. Down blocking the hand. DeMarcus elevating Forrest. He'll go out of bounds. DeMarcus was attempting to bring Forrest back down, but Forrest was really getting good position and getting two-on-one control of the hand. Putting the hand in the back pocket. Trying to cut away. It was making it tough on DeMarcus to elevate and put him back to the mat. There's a warning on DeMarcus for a quick start there. So 1:37 to go in the second period. Forrest set. DeMarcus covers, look for blows. Forrest comes straight to his feet again. DeMarcus made it up to let him go. No, here's a quick action by Forrest. Still on their feet. DeMarcus is trying to drive through Forrest. Forrest at the switch action, go out of bounds again. So Forrest creating a lot of action. DeMarcus is just trying to follow right now. This keeps going. I'm sure Miller's probably going to nail DeMarcus for stalling. There's a second caution on DeMarcus.
We've already seen one match determined by caution.
So for sure Forrest will get a good jump on this one. He pushes past and comes to his feet. DeMarcus locks his hand. There's a warning right there on DeMarcus for stalling. DeMarcus changes level, goes down and attacks the knee level on Forrest now from behind, trying to drive him back to the mat. DeMarcus trying to maintain control. Still no points scored in the match.
I don't know what he's thinking. 104 left, and he's just hanging in there. But
he's in there just to cut him a long time ago, so the warning never happened.
He can't afford to get a penalty point. That'll change the whole complexion of the
fresh man. Start here. Tim, DeMarcus covers. Forrest is the switch action again. Forrest controlling the hand. DeMarcus finally just cuts him, giving the run. So 50 seconds to go in the second period. Forrest gets his one escape. They're on their feet now. So Forrest again moving into DeMarcus. DeMarcus' hands are pretty high. Forrest driving him out of bounds. So Mark Miller is warning, verbally warning DeMarcus right now about wrestling. Not avoiding wrestling. He's on DeMarcus moving in a little bit before. Trying to get back on the head again. The Forrest is still moving in, driving DeMarcus backwards. I think he's going to get one right here. Well, one more flurry like that with Forrest driving DeMarcus backwards, that's going to be a penalty point. The Forrest drives on a single, inside single. There's a loser action. DeMarcus drives out of bounds. Miller says no. Miller says he was not avoiding wrestling. It was a natural counteraction.
Coach Chanty was over at the bench. Wants to talk to Mr. Miller about what he has to do to get the point. Well, I tell you, DeMarcus Spencer did a nice job. He was going towards the out of bounds. He hit the switch to make it look like he's still active, even though...
Yeah, I actually agree with Mr. Miller. I didn't think that was avoiding wrestling. He actually tried to wrestle back into it.
Miller's talking it over with Mark Hollingsworth. Technical violation. And they gave him a technical violation. Wow.
Well, of course, when you back up as much as he has been,
yeah.
You know,
it's
put yourself in that position.
2-0, Frankie Forrest.
So 17 seconds to go in the second period. Forrest still moving, elbow passing. DeMarcus trying to get to the edge. Forrest just dominating hand position. Forrest still driving through DeMarcus. DeMarcus tries to underhook. Forrest drives him out of bounds again. 3 seconds to go in the second period.
Frankie Forrest controlling all the action on the tie-ups.
The whistle blows into the second period. 2-0 lead for Forrest. DeMarcus shooting in defensive position. Takes a big blow. Forrest tells him to set. Forrest covers. There's the whistle. Forrest drives DeMarcus forward, puts weight on his hand. DeMarcus trying to hand fight underneath. Trying to clear the hand. Forrest keeping good pressure, staying behind DeMarcus. Keeping his knees between the backside of DeMarcus. Forrest looking for head lever. He has the wrist and head lever action. Tight waist. He tries to relax like he's going to run the head lever, but it's really not there right now. DeMarcus is locking him down pretty hard. Still a good tight waist by Forrest. And then pull Marcus. There's a warning for DeMarcus again. 1 point, Forrest. It's a 3-0 match. 1:18 to go in the third period. Forrest dominating all the action. DeMarcus just basically catching all of Forrest and Flurry. Forrest has the arm threaded. Looking for a back hook. Hitching through. DeMarcus still not doing much. DeMarcus on his stomach. There's a back hook by Forrest. DeMarcus turns back to hip down, breaking the back end. So 40 seconds to go. 3-0 Forrest. Third period.
Homer fans starting to feel it, Coach.
Well, they wanted one last year for Forrest. We lost a tough one, so they've been waiting for this match for a year, Coach. They probably are pretty excited. Again, Forrest is only a junior, isn't he, Coach?
Yes. Yeah, I think this has driven him all year long, that loss last year. And now for caution, the third caution issued to DeMarcus Spencer. And that results in a point for Forrest, 4-0 now.
29 seconds to go, third period.
The next violation will be a two-pointer.
DeMarcus just keeping pressure on top. He has the cross wrist. He's just pulling DeMarcus down to the mat. DeMarcus looking kind of a Grandy type action. Forrest just driving through him, not really giving DeMarcus any opportunity. There's DeMarcus trying to square off. He gets his one, actually. 11 seconds to go. It's 4-1. DeMarcus tries a carry action. Forrest down block. Forrest keeps a good position in front of DeMarcus. Not going to give up anything. There he is. Thank you, Forrest. The Hamilton County State Champion. 4-1.
What a match. Frankie Forrest kind of dominated the kind of positions of any coach.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier in the match. DeMarcus had to get his heavy hands on Forrest's head. Forrest was going to keep moving in. And Forrest was depressed by moving in. He just took away DeMarcus's ability to get heavy hands on his head.
The thing about Forrest is he follows it up with leg attacks. You know, not many kids do that. I mean, they bang on the head, but they don't follow it up. He's either pushing elbows through or banging the head down and forcing you to react to it. Passing the elbow, that was a big thing all year long. You know, he never hit a two-on-one. As opposed to when Russell Harper in last week's semi-state finals, he was constantly on a two-on-one.
I think it's been a difference of style. So DeMarcus starts trying to come high to the head. Not really leaving his hands down low to be a factor of two-on-one. so I think Forrest took what was available to him.
Yeah. All right. We're about ready to hear, introduce Jason Thurston, the 125 pound champion, to receive his award on the podium. Okay, here we go, 135-pound championship, Taylor Marsh, in the blue uniform, royal blue, got a gold stripe going around the back, lower back, and Mitchell Ritchie from Brown County, undefeated, 43-0. Taylor Marsh, this is his third trip to a state championship match. And you don't think he's hungry. He's worked very hard. He was third last year. It was the only time last year, I think, when he wasn't in the final match.
Yeah. Well, it's his third trip to the final.
Shot from out by Ritchie. Front headlock by Marsh. Now he kind of pushes them off, controls the... he's got a post on the right shoulder. All right. Both wrestlers kind of feeling each other out here in the early going of the 135-pound championship match. Collar tie by left hand. That's the thing. Left hand collar tie by Mitch Ritchie. And we got an overtie overtie with his right hand by Taylor Marsh. Now he's really jamming the head down, Ritchie is, as we go out of bounds. He's kind of hanging on the head, trying to destroy Taylor Marsh's stand. Mitch Ritchie with a heavy right leg lead. Taylor Marsh with more of a left leg lead, so they kind of don't match up with their lead legs. It's always tough wrestling a left hander. I always had a problem with it.
A lot of second go action here. A little head snap action by
Boy, that was
Ritchie.
A quick first period. No scoring. Flip goes to Taylor Marsh. He defers. So Mitch Ritchie doesn't look like he has a whole lot of flexibility in his right knee. Kind of walking stiff kneed. It looks like he has it heavily wrapped on the right, underneath his right knee pad. Marsh on top, tight waist, real tight. You can see his hand. You can see his hand on the other side was so tight. Now he goes for an inside leg lift stack. Cross faces it, locks up the elbow, tucks the elbow underneath. So Ritchie gets the elbow back and loses it, and Marsh loses it. He steps behind him, got an ankle hook, goes to a rear crotch. Now inside switch. Now he's got a loose wing. He counts the head. He gets a count. Taylor Marsh got a two count, but Richie's going to scooter out and get a reversal for two. So we got a 2-2 match on a scooter move by... now wait a minute. Didn't he give back points for Taylor Marsh? Yes, he did. I thought he gave two. 2-2. So we got a 2-point hair fall on the scooter. That's where Ritchie kind of put himself to his back and scoot out, and in the process gave up two back points, but he got his reversal eventually. Now we got a 2-2 match with 58 seconds in the second period.
Ritchie's on top. I'm kind of on tip right now, though.
So really, Taylor Marsh is in a pretty good position here. If he can generate some offense underneath, we got a stalemate call by Hollingsworth, the official, and we'll restart him. Taylor Marsh,
you got to feel for the kid. This is his third attempt at a title. Plus the fact that Tim has been in our wrestling room at 10 for in and out over the last few years. Great gentleman.
He's been in about everybody's wrestling room since he's here.
All right, Mitch Ritchie with a cross body. Got a leg in. Trying to work a cross face turf. And he's got the his backhand through the crotch. It looks like he's trying to thread the needle with it. With it and going to some type of tilt. Now, Taylor Marsh coming to his feet. Ritchie in the crab ride. Now he gets to a fireman's carry position. He's got a reversal here. He's got a reversal. At the buzzer, Taylor Marsh gets a reversal for a 4-2 lead, and it's his choice in the third. If Coach Chris Giesen in his football team sitting in tall cotton right now, if he can score underneath. All right, 4-2.
Rich is pretty solid on top.
I'm just wondering how bad his knee's bothering him. He keeps fiddling with that knee pad.
He breaks Marsh down to his stomach. Put the leg in.
He's pretty adept at this torch series. Marsh is going to have to do like Jason Thurston did. I mean, he did an excellent job of just blocking the legs out. I don't know if he knew they were coming or not. I'm sure Taylor's coaches have scouted Ritchie. Power half of both legs in now for Ritchie. Taylor Marsh, if he can weather the storm here and get a fresh start, might get an opportunity to come out of there, but he's got to move on the whistle, Coach. Ritchie, not going anywhere with this power half. I'm surprised Hollingworth hasn't stalemated this.
I'm not sure how well Ritchie's able to use his right leg to spin.
I'm telling you, I think it's really bothering him. I saw him walk back, and now Taylor Marsh has been warned for stalling.
1 minute
with
to go,
one
Coach.
Minute, plenty of time.
Ritchie's working hard.
Marsh is at least going to have to get his head off the mat. Once a referee sees your head on the mat, he's going to ding it. He's got to keep the head off the mat and act like he's busy.
He can call, there it is, he called it.
Every time he drops his head on the mat,
he needs to let him go right now and try to get a takedown.
4-3. We've got a 4-3 match, 35 seconds left. Now he's really cranking on the head, but Taylor Marsh is reaching for the head, looking for the defensive call and getting the reversal. Not yet. I'm premature on the call.
Right here, so let's let him go right here. Give him the order, try to get the two.
16 seconds left, 4-3. Richie's still in control, but they're facing each other down on the mat. Marsh, Ritchie tries to shuck him. He needs to get rid of him and take him down, but that's the way it's going to end, 4-3. Taylor Marsh finally gets a state title. Taylor Marsh, East Noble, state champion. Coach, I'm not sure, but is that East Noble's first state title? I believe this may be East Noble's first state titleist. Taylor Marsh from East Noble, well deserved, a tremendous match, taking nothing away from Mitchell Ritchie from Brown County, because he dominated people throughout the early round. And I think he had a knee problem there, Coach. Maybe it wasn't that 100%.
I think it affected his ability to completely stretch.
And he made no offensive attacks on his feet, number one. It looked like he was really hiding that lead knee. They are announcing the 130-pound state champions now.
Next match coming up, 140, is going to be Stephen Santa from Mishawaka and Ryan Stone and Elkhart Memorial. They went back to Mishawaka for the Elkhart Classic final. Santa from Superior, I believe, is a 1-2 point win. The Stone kind of came back and
fourth place, Mishawaka.
A little bit larger than that, but I'm sure he's
third place this year, number off a terrific game from Homer High School Junior. Last one rebound in the
game. All right, here we go. 140-pound man. Don't let your safety take his hand. So, up on the green line.
Congratulations.
1 on 1 He has the power side moving in on Sandifer. Changes level, tries a knee pick. Sandifer, they go out of bounds. And after a fresh start, Sandifer on the rolling start. And there's several of those in this match today. Again, Falls moving into Sandifer.
That's a big change since the last time they wrestled, Coach.
Falls moving in?
Yes. He's kind of crowding Sandifer.
Sandifer changes level on the low single, trying to duck the leg and go out the back door. And elevating, kind of elevates Stahl. Stahl's going around the waist, trying to block down. Getting heavy on his feet.
He's neutralizing Sandifer now. He may end up scoring on this.
Ref calls stalemate, brings them both back up to their feet. Stahl on the 2-on-1 action. Moving into Sandifer, so Sandifer goes with power tie. So Stahl cut in, so he neutralizes that 2-on-1. Stahl on the over the power tie, Sandifer the over tie. Again, looks like Stahl is dictating the hand tie here. He's wow. Changing off on Sandifer. They can keep Sandifer so Sandifer can't key in on and target in on his shot.
Sandifer's got such an array of attacks. He can boot, scooch, he can power duck you. He can low single you. It's just a matter of him imposing his will on him. He's wanting to tie up right now. Stahl's doing a nice job.
Stahl's still working the head on Sandifer. I
think the strategy is Stahl to go even with Sandifer on her feet in the first period. And he avoided a takedown here early by cross locking him and stopping his ankles when Sandifer made the shot here about a minute ago.
Both guys are exchanging hand ties right now.
I believe their last meeting was in the Al Smith Finals. In that match, I believe Sandifer got one or two takedowns in that first period. And then Stahl came rolling back in the third. Sandifer take neutral? I think Sandifer took neutral because basically, Stahl's got some good tricks on top. He can turn people. Double underhooks, jamming. He's got Sandifer jacked up with double underhooks. Sandifer hipping out.
Trying to get his head in position.
Sandifer trying to hip out. Stahl may try to throw one of those arms by with a shrug. Pretty tough to foot sweep and bailing out there. Yeah.
Out of bounds, going to go out of bounds. So definitely taking the hand ties to Sandifer in this match.
Sandifer's going to hit a shot from out here. I feel the pace of the man.
I feel that Stahl may walk into one.
Yeah.
He's trying to pressure in so hard.
Stahl doing a good job of holding position.
Again, it's changing hand ties right now. With a little flurry by Sandifer, try to cross snap. A little level change.
Stahl shortening the arm, got Sandifer in the front headlock.
Sandifer a lot of times just walking. Russell tried to carry off that action, but Stahl squares off and
I think he's doing a good job of shortening his elbow as he runs behind. Look at this scramble. Oh, he's got him tight. Stahl's got him in a tight crotch lock.
Sandifer's on a head outside single.
But Stahl's cutting the corner on him, Coach.
Sandifer's got his head on the mat. And
well,
over the top.
Sandifer's got to keep that shoulder in
there,
tight.
He
and he did.
Right there, Coach. That should be two.
It should
there
be.
There it is. That's two. That's two. Two takedowns for Stahl.
And 2-point reversal.
The 22 seconds to go in the second period. You think Starr would want that one right here, 120 if he can get it right here. He's coming to his feet.
10 seconds.
Has a claw right in. It's dropped down to a single. That inside single, 4 seconds to go. Pretty smart move, knowing what the time was, just dropping in that single and not give up on a scope right there.
I tell you, that's go behind. Starr cutting the corner on Sanford's high crotch. Sanford lost the shoulder relationship in the crotch. That's allowed him to cut the corner on. Sanford gives him the escape. If he's going to win this thing, he's going to win it on his feet, it looks like.
So Saul, 3-2 lead. Both wrestlers are changing head ties. Saul working the 2-on-1 action again. Sanford changes level, looks for a head outside single type action.
Starr keeping him far away from him with his hands, you know what? There's a throw by, into a shot, grabs his toes. That should be two, it is. Steve Sanford with a blast double and a 4-3 lead. Sits him on his rear end.
So a minute 15 to go in the third period. Sanford's going to give him the one, so it's going to be a 4-4 match.
1:15.
Again, Saul moving in. Sanford actually moving back into Saul now. Sanford's throwing the elbows. Looks for a boot shoot action. There it is. There's the head outside single. Saul trying to cut the corner again.
Here's
break Sanford down.
He elevates him now.
That may...
Shouldn't have took him over the top.
No, that may have been a mistake right there.
Yeah, he shouldn't have took him over the top. 2-point takedown for Sanford. 6-4.
So 40 seconds to go. Saul will come back to his feet. Sanford gives him the one. A little flurry action there going out of bounds. Sanford tries to change his level and Saul hips into it. So 31 seconds to go. Sanford up 6-5. Saul trying to move into Sanford. Sanford controlling the wrist. Elbow or shoulder post, he now takes the collar tie. Saul moving in, collar tie. So he wants to snap Sanford down, but Sanford's moving the feet ladder along the out of bounds line. Sanford rotates Saul toward the sideline and shoots him out. 8 seconds to go. Here's the whistle. Saul moves in hard. They go out of bounds. 5 seconds to go. There's the whistle, rolling start on Saul, caution, come back, fresh start. Saul coming into Sanford, Sanford is blocking away, rotating away.
Second to third trial.
Well, that was all right tonight, Coach. Did you teach him that?
Wow. What a match. 6-5.
Steven wins that match and gives him a version of breakdancing. I'm sure that'll be a blog right there, Coach. It's probably a blog already. Go to IndianaAmerican.com. I'm pretty sure Joe might start the blog himself. Hey, did you guys see that breakdance by Sanford? Yeah, you went too well. I guess you get a
sure.
You get at least 10 seconds of glory there, that's
nice job.
Yeah. Steven Sanford, one of the good guys in wrestling. Very respectable, hardworking young man. He gets a hug from Josh Harper.
I still think this war is going to be tough to beat this game.
They're off for 12 pounder, but you know, they did get Rennell back in their lineup.
Yeah.
And the They've already wrestled for Steve Buehler on Sunday morning. They're pretty solid matches with those two teams, so if they don't make any mistakes, you think they'd be favored to repeat.
And as we mentioned,
all right.
Third time is the charm. 39 on the season,
a state title by number 35, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Noble, Taylor Marks. Now, Taylor Marks, his poster and championship medal.
145-pound Dan Young, Culver Academy, in a maroon singlet with an S Superman on the front of it. Reminiscent of his brother, Paul, who won a state title for Bloomington College. He's wrestling Gavin McGinley, 145, in an Abbott Cathedral. McGinley in a gold singlet.
So this is the battle of pride for
Young in a maroon singlet.
There's been a lot of Youngs, a lot of McGinleys come to this tournament, Coach.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if they've ever met in the finals. This may be the first time. I believe the McGinley brothers hold the record for the most wins for a family in the state of Indiana.
McGinley with a front headlock on Young. Tried to tip and spin on him. But they went out of bounds. They never did tip him. Young on a shot from out. Down blocked by McGinley into a front headlock. Now he comes with fireman's carry. They bounce him out of bounds. And we start back up with 121 left in the second period, the first period. Daniel Young, ranked number one most of the year at 145. I'm sorry, he started the year at 52 and he dropped down. Probably in late December, I believe, to the 145-pound weight class.
Probably a good change speed on Young's part. Give Gavin a lot to think about.
Daniel Young, originally from Bloomington, Indiana, where his brothers, JT and Paul, were state champions at Bloomington South High School. Paul, currently the 165-pound wrestler for IU, having a pretty decent season. Young with a shot, down blocked by McGinley. McGinley pretty good in the short offense. Has an underhook, and we're going to get a stalemate here by referee Chuck Barnett. Start again on our feet with 33 seconds left in the first period. Young changing speeds, basically shuffles across the circle.
Young did a nice job blocking down.
Thank you.
Not really giving Gavin a lot to really work with.
Yeah, he hasn't got much offense off Young. Young kind of dodging in and out on him, changing speeds.
Nice double pass. Yeah. Right now, Young just seems to be dictating the pace of the match. And the hand ties.
I think if he pushes the pace, he'll force McGinley to take a timeout. He has done that in the last two matches I've seen. He's had two overtime matches today. He had an overtime match in the quarters, and I believe he had an overtime match in the semis, Coach.
Yeah, it's actually had overtime. He did. He had overtime wins.
I'm not sure if we check the records. He might have an overtime last night. But anyway, Gavin McGinley wins the flip and goes down in the second period. So Paul Young will take the Dan Young will take the top position. McGinley hits a short set. Right to Granby roll from this position here. But Young standing under the arms, sucking him back, floating with him, goes into a spiral on the right side. Guy changes over to the left side on a spiral half. We're near the out-of-bounds, so Young does not want to go out-of-bounds, and McGinley rolls him out-of-bounds. Side rolls.
Well, Coach, McGinley had a 6-5 win last night, a 7-6 overtime this morning, a 3-2 overtime match, so he knows how to win the close one, Coach.
He knows how to keep them close, right?
He knows how to keep them close and win them, Coach.
And I don't think this one's going to be any different, Coach. I don't think this is going to be any different. Nice low single by Dan Young. Dumps McGinley to his hip, but McGinley chest locks him.
Young's got the ankle trap, which is, he's trying to stack him up for a fall. But McGinley's doing it, rolls him through. Young has lost control of the ankle that he had hooked. Now they're in a scramble situation with chest blocks and Young trying to come out the back door. Got a foot up. Bryce gets weight to the leg and gets a takedown. Daniel Young with a takedown with 1 minute left in the second period. So Young takes a 2-1 lead. Nice job of moving through the legs. I mean, scrambling by Dan Young. Coming out the back door. Putting McGinley in a defensive move that started to panic there. I think he had a release and eventually came out the back door.
Young just continues to dominate the pace of the match. I'm not so sure if the official, I don't think the official looking potentially dangerous there, but Gavin's got his head buried on the mat. There's a power half coming in by Young. He can step over. Step off and drive.
Now McGinley gets to his knees and stands up and gets out. Throw by McGinley out of bounds. I think it was just a token.
So it's a 2-2 match, 4 seconds to go in the second period.
And I believe it's Young's choice in the third, correct? So Gavin McGinley on chart for another 1 point match here. Young takes down. 2-2. We go into the final period. McGinley's got two escapes. Young's got a takedown. To round out the scoring, Young has just been cautioned by referee Bonnet. He resets him. Young in a short set. McGinley in a crab ride. Gets back to his base. And control. McGinley goes into a cradle. Will goes rear crotch and we run out of bounds. With McGinley still in control. 1:50 left in the match. 2-2. Crab ride again by McGinley. Looks like he's trying to throw a leg in. Looks like Daniel Young has caught the leg. Now he gets to his feet. Throws the leg out. McGinley goes to a rear crotch and we run out of bounds. McGinley continues to drop to a rear crotch position and runs him out of bounds. As Daniel Young continues to work hard, he's been cautioned.
A minute 36 to go in the third period, Coach.
So he's going to have to take it easy. Nice arm chop by McGinley now as he changed his offense on top. Throws a leg on the backside. Young catches the leg, throws it out, and McGinley goes right back into a high crotch, dumps him down to his hips, and
locks
him on it. When he dumped him down to his hips, he locked his hands on the mat. Chuck Barnett was in perfect position to see it, calls it. So now we got a 3-2 match. McGinley trailing. McGinley looks a little upset. He has cut him loose for the point escape, making it 4-2. And we're going to wrestle on our feet. Young comes across. Low single. Crotch locked by McGinley. Tried to neutralize it. Now he's got it hooked. He's going into a turf. Nice job by Daniel Young, but McGinley
gets him on his back. He's going to give me a fall. He's got him on his back. He's tight. He's driving the shoulder down. He's got a head on both traps, Coach.
He's got a head wrap and an elbow.
Chuck is down there. He's looking for the call. He's going to get a 5-point area. There's 47 seconds to go.
What scrambling. Gavin McGinley has opened this match up 7-4. Now 7-6, and he's got a butterfly on the rail. So Daniel Young got him on his back. He got him. Daniel Young.
With an unbelievable sequence of events, Young comes back. That's the cradle and pin to McGinley.
With 28 seconds remaining and the foul.
No crowds on
the field. Daniel Young caught Gavin McGinley in a bottom leg cradle when he was trailing by 3 points. And he took it to the forearm. Daniel Young, but he goes all the military, first day champion. I don't want to say he's forever, but in a long time. What a match.
What a match.
Chuck, I don't know that I've been to more exciting finals than what we've seen today.
I agree with you. I've been coming to here since 1965.
I was born in 1965.
Well,
I can't count that, Coach. You got me. Again, you always get me, though. Well, I'll tell you what.
And I haven't seen a more exciting final. I don't know if it's because we're on the speaker or what, but these matches have been outstanding. Wow.
I don't know, but it seems like the technique in the Indiana wrestlers definitely improved the last decade dramatically.
Well, the increase of the scramble situation, even Kenny, when you wrestled, in the 80s, you didn't see the scrambling like you do today. And kids are getting good at that position. Anyway,
Ginley goes from thinking he's got a shot to fall to win a state championship. The seconds later being 10.
It was so hard to come back.
Well,
give it to Danny. He didn't give up and he pursued and he was persistent. Hey, we're going to 152 now with McMurray. And I'm so excited. I don't know who's turn it
into. I think this was my coach, but I'll let you calm down for a second, man. I think I jumped in with you there a little bit, Coach. I got a little fired, too.
That's all right. You could hear yourself think at the end of that match.
Well, I'll tell you what. This crowd has been on edge of their seat standing up all the whole game. So,
fans, if you can't be here, you're in the next best thing. You're listening to it live from Conseco.
You're hearing it here first, Coach.
152 pounds.
Anthony Kiraz is a story in itself. I wonder if this guy finished his 8th grade career last year and said, next year I'm going to be in the state championship match. 37-11 as a freshman and has found his way all the way to state championship match versus Sean McMurray.
Coach, the Roses were on the old snap-down headgear, and I think their last state champion wore old snap-down headgear.
Well, Coach, look at this.
Keith Davidson.
The cheers just does not stop. Looks like a
big
down from McMurray. And Kiraz hits the switch type action, goes behind McMurray. Tied up 2-2. McMurray comes back to his feet. He's trying to control the hands. Kiraz elevates McMurray. Lifts and dumps him to his side. McMurray right back up to his feet again. Trying to get hand control. Cuts through. Squares off, turns in, he gets the one, it's a 3-2 lead for McMurray. He sailor rides Kiraz down to his side, gets a 2-point takedown for a 5-2 lead for McMurray. McMurray just trying to put a little pressure on Kiraz, need to slow the match down a little bit here. They're probably excited too. McMurray trying to throw a leg in. Kiraz trying to step it out. He does step it out. Knee slides under. Trying to get his knees under. Try to work the hands right here. McMurray going to a crab ride. Trying to put a leg in. Again, Kiraz just posted his leg back, not allowing McMurray to put a leg in. So 31 seconds to go in the first period. Kiraz's knee slides up. He hits the switch on McMurray again. McMurray kind of follows. Drives Kiraz back down to his stomach again. You know, Coach, I didn't know I was that impressed with Kiraz at the Mitchell Augmentational for the Al Smith Classic, but I think maybe I underestimated Kiraz. He does some nice things.
Not your typical freshman upper-weight wrestler, that's for sure. 5-2, Sean McMurray.
The end of the first period. McMurray's going to go to the defensive position. Kiraz is going to cover. There's the whistle. Kiraz side prize. Goes into a spiral ride type action. Claw ride. McMurray comes to a tripod. Kiraz trying to break the position. McMurray gets hand control. He's trying to clear the hands. Looking for a switch action off. And he steps over Kiraz. Took him on his back. No near fall, but he gets the two reversals. McMurray takes a 7-2 lead. Kiraz keeping pressure McMurray's keeping pressure down on Sierra, is working the wrist right now. Sierra slides the knee under, trying to improve his position there. McMurray throws the leg in, soft body ride, trying to work the far elbow. Scratch Sierra's onto his hip, still has a leg in, looking for a back hook off. He's got the arm threaded, looking for a back hook. Sierra's just fighting it off right now. 52 seconds to go in the second period. 7-2 lead to McMurray. Murray's looking for maybe a tilt action or a bundle type action. He has the cross wrist. Sierra's trying to block down, not give up any kind of tilt. So Sierra goes back to a thread the needle again. 22 seconds to go in the second period. There's a warning on Kira's. He needs to be working up, improving his position. At this point, he's just trying to defend all the pinning combinations that McMurray's trying to run. Murray's still working the, throwing a leg back in again. Kira's trying to knee under, improve his position. The time expires. We're going to go in the third period. 7-2 lead to McMurray. So Kira is going to choose a defensive position. There's Murray coming off defending the state title right now as a junior. 48-0, leading 7-2 in the third period, trying to repeat. Pretty solid press on battling McMurray.
McMurray's only a junior, right, Coach?
Yeah, he's only a junior. Murray keeping a lot of good pressure down on Kira, a lot of weight on his hands. Kira's knee slides again, trying to build a position up, but McMurray has that crab ride pretty tight and just keeps pressuring Kira's forward onto his hands so he can't come up. A little suck back type action. Drops down to a single leg. Kira throws McMurray over the top.
He's got some offense, hasn't he?
He can be dangerous.
Kind of like a cement job.
Yeah.
Versus a single leg, and Chris Joel, the head coach, is going to go over there and talk.
He was probably looking for at least one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
One escape.
A loss of control, I would assume.
They're going to give it.
They're going to give it. That's all it took was Chris Joel to make the walk over there.
Gordon's coach wants to discuss this now with the official.
Pat Wilkins.
Probably a pretty good call, though, given the one, because clearly Kira was in control of that throw going out of bounds.
I think Pat Wilkins just wants his case stated here.
So, minute 10 to go in the third period, 7-3 lead to McMurray. Kira's in on a front headlock. McMurray controlling the elbow, the over elbow. Sierra's tried to shrug it. McMurray comes back to his feet. McMurray changes the level, trying to get it on the head of the side single. Sierra's blocking down because they're running a front quarter. Looks like he's pushing McMurray's head down.
Referee checking for legality of a front quarter. Called the tail man.
So 41 seconds to go in the third period. 7-3 lead for McMurray. They're both on their feet.
Caution, Giroux.
So Kira's slowly moving in a snap on Kira's part. Front quarter, trying to spin behind McMurray. He's trying to double block it. Can't quite get it. There's the front quarter again. It's a lot of pressure. And now he tries to shrug front side back release and goes behind. There's two takedowns. So 7-5, and he releases with 17 seconds to go. So 8-5, 15 seconds to go. Kira's again on the... It's like a front quarter type action. McMurray just hanging on. Let me get the victory. So there it is, folks. McMurray defends his state title. 8-5 victory. Pretty impressive performance by the freshman, though. kind of thought that would maybe just have the biggest blowout match of the night, but
yeah,
Steelers came back and kept it, you know, closed the margin at the end.
Well, Sean McMurray wins his second state title for Pat Wilkins and the Portage Indians. Right now they're going through the 145-pound champion, all eight of them. We've got a match coming up here at 160 pounds. Matt Kyle, Pendleton Heights. He's undefeated. What's the name of the young man who's wrestling? I can't see it.
Well, it says Briar Runyon.
Briar Runyon from Martinsville. I think Briar Runyon has been ranked number one all year. ...42-0 for Runyon, 46-0 for Todd. Todd is a green singlet from Pendleton Heights, the Arabian, and the Martinsville Artesians.
I've been pretty impressed with Matt Todd.
I have too, folks.
I haven't
seen Runyon wrestle as much. Played football 2 years ago. Freshman vertebrae in his back. So he didn't play football this year. Healed up and here he is in the state finals. He was here last year, Todd was, but he defeated in the first round. So Runyon in blue on a in the green anklet. Matt Todd with wrist ties, bangs on the head. Now he's got a 2-on-1 for Matt Todd of Pendleton Heights. But cross Nashville front headlock. Runyon, Runyon tried to sucker drag out, and now he goes into an underhook. Briar and Runyon with an underhook and an elbow tie goes into a single leg on the right leg. Goes low to the distal end of the leg, claims it up, foot sweeps it once, twice, right in the center of the mat. Now he's driving nearly out of bounds, and he's doing a nice job of bringing him back to the center, drops in on a double leg and dumps him down to the hips for a 2-point takedown. So Briar Runyon opens up the scoring here, 2-0 with a takedown, with 1:09 remaining in the first period. Two undefeated wrestlers here. One 42-0, the other 46-0.
Coach, we had four undefeated wrestlers in the semis in this week, Lance.
Todd on a semi stand up, cuts the hands, Runyon follows him into a head lever, runs it to a wing on the right side, searching for the far wrist. Briar Runyon is awfully sick. Now he's going to try to run him over. He jumps away from the wing, and it looks like he's trying to wing them both up. Nope, he's looking for the far wrist. So Briar Runyon is burning control right now in the first period. Trying to get, he takes him to his back.
Well, he's got
he's getting the count.
He's got 34
he's got
seconds.
Right.
He's got 34 seconds. That's pretty strong.
Wow.
He's trying to cut it through.
He ran him to his back.
He pulled that arm back. He may. Oh, he flipped it.
He lost the arm now. Got a 3-point here, fall and a 5-point lead. He's going to go out of bounds. And he does not give the 1-point escape. He's looking at Frankie Medvedik.
I kind of thought there was one there, but
Anslinger, he's going to give him
one.
Yeah, he talked it over with
good communication with the officials there. Great job, the officials' part.
Thank you. So we got a 5-1 Briar Runyon lead. Matt Todd comes right back into a 2-on-1, releases it. Flip goes to Runyon, he takes down.
He has a 5-1 lead by virtue of a takedown and a chicken wing ran to his back with a wrist. Todd rolled out of it as his Briar Runyon lost the wrist. Tried an inside switch. And Todd running a spiral. Trying to chop the far arm. Now Briar Runyon tripods up, tries to get the hand control before he takes the hand off the mat. Goes back down to a knee. Todd with a far wrist, rear crotch. Now he goes back into a spiral.
Then Runyon realizes he just doesn't have to make any huge mistakes here, so
he goes into the claw. Kind of hanging out, he reaches back as Todd tries a rear crotch lift. Had to go into a turret, but he bailed out on it.
Runyon's doing a nice job of just making sure he's getting the hand control, doing some stuff like that before he comes to his feet.
Before he comes to his feet, yeah.
Being patient, but he has good effort.
Now he's getting a wrist and pulling it to an underhook, it looks like. Oh, he's pulling him off. He's going to cut an arm through, I got a feeling. There's a wizard. Now he's got a bundle. And Matt Todd's still in control of the situation. We go potentially dangerous. Stoppage of the match. And we'll reset it with 44 in the second. Briar Runyon goes down from Martinsville. Two undefeated wrestlers meeting here for the 160-pound title. Short sit by Runyon, stuck back by Todd. Follows around.
Runyon still being patient.
Tripod's up.
30 seconds
to chop that arm. Not going anywhere. Now a short set. Goes to the head. This is a dangerous situation for either wrestler. As Matt Todd has both a head and arm. Still in control. And escape hasn't been issued yet. 8 seconds now. We got a point for an escape. It's a 6-1 match for Briar Runyon. As we go on our feet. Time runs out. Third period. Choice goes to Matt Todd and takes down. Got a 5-point deficit to make up for here. Briar Runyon is on the right side. Short sit stand. Semi stand up by Matt Todd. And then he's flattened out by Briar Runyon. Runyon's going to try to run his wing again, I think. Got a tight waist. Pretty tough on top. Tight waist. He's got that tight waist wrapped. Now he bars the arm. He's going to run into a wing. And we got blood time for Green, which is Briar Runyon. He's got it on his back. Matt Todd has it on his back. So I think the blood might be coming from...
Well, Coach, what's Matt Todd have to do to make up 5 points here?
I imagine you guys are going to escape and look for some big 5-point throw. I don't know if he has that in his arsenal. I'm sure he does. But anyway, Briar Runyon is not going to just give him an escape. I know that. He's going to make him work for it. And I think he's got a pretty good offense on top. He's pretty good with bars and wings, as he demonstrated in the first period. That broke the match wide open. And a good tight match of two undefeated, anytime you get a 2 or 3 point near fall.
That's either a separation.
Yeah, that really could mean the match.
That's allowed running the wrestling
match. Nice little roll by... Matt Todd, and he gets his escape. Look like he tried to inside trip him.
Well, it looked like he had him over and under.
Maybe I gotta take that back. I think he does have an arsenal on his feet. 6-2, 1 minute left. stalemate call. We're going to start back up on our feet with 56 seconds left in a 160-pound final.
And I'm sure after running felt that little over-under type action, he's going to
drop to his
down.
Knees.
Yeah, stay down.
He can continue to take down here.
45 seconds to go in the match.
2-on-1. Now Runyon's got an underhook. Trying to control the backside elbow. He did this early in the match where he tried an underhook and now we're not backed out of there. Stays down low. Front headlock. Front headlock. Oh, I saw him do this earlier. Front headlock foot sweep. Now Runyon's in on a single leg. Got it cleaned up. Looking to cross chop to his back. Now he dumps him down. So Bridal Runyon runs the cradle. He's got a 2-point takedown. And he's looking for more, but there's not much time left. So we're going to end it here at 8-2 and a 1-point escape at the end. 8-3, Bridal Runyon, Martin Joe, our team champion.
Martin Joe, the
Bridal Runyon. With an 8-3 decision over previously undefeated, Matt Todd has nothing to be ashamed of. What a season. Coaches Dave Cloud and Eric Tribble congratulate him on the season.
Finishing the 152 job. We're happy to see him on the awards day, but the last time we saw that was earlier this morning.
The Princeton kid?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember right, I think he won the Nelson Savage.
Oh, that kid, yeah. He was tough.
Good guy. Princeton. Pretty solid wrestler.
He came out of nowhere.
And Kiraz was in that tournament. And Vince Stein won it, so.
Congratulations.
An injury. You may have seen Vince Stein. Well,
good to see him back on a podium. As he dropped an eighth place.
Well, the good thing is we'll see Drake Stein and Kiraz back next year. Both of them will be out in the class. That would be the match we're looking to work out in the class next year.
All right, Michael Duckworth, Bryce Grimes from Lawrence North in the red singlet. Michael Duckworth in the blue from Union County.
Duckworth moving in. Got a change speed, a little bit of change level on Grimes. Grimes kind of touching and going. That really, he must kind of feeling the Duckworth out right now. Those guys touching and going. A little change speed by Duckworth again. Grimes takes a 2-on-1. Looks like he's trying to slow Duckworth out a little bit and drives him out of bounds with it. Early on, it already looks like Grimes wants to slow Duckworth down and control him. The Duckworth working the head a little bit. Touch and go, tapping the head. Looks like he wants to tap the head and change the level here on Grimes. Grimes is obviously trying to stay away from Duckworth. Wants to control the wrist, slow him down before they move in. So there's a 2-on-1 action by Duckworth. Head snap by Grimes. Near the sideline right now. Grimes pulling the head down. The Duckworth staying on a two. He got a double wrist tie. 2-on-1 on the wrist. Grimes clearly is not giving Duckworth room to close in on him attacking. They've been trying to create separation. Grimes still trying to run two-on-one, trying to control Duckworth and slow him down a little bit. 19 seconds to go in the first period. No score. I think Duckworth is trying to catch up with Grimes right now. I was kind of wouldn't be surprised to see Duckworth would have changed his level. Tried to penetrate a little bit. He may have forced a stalling on Grimes. But Duckworth gets a 2-on-1 on him, driving into Grimes at the period end. Grimes kept slipping back in, though. He wasn't backing up. So Grimes gets the... He defers. Duckworth's going to shoot the defensive position. So Grimes is going to have to wrestle him here, unless he gives him the one. Nope, Grimes is going to cover him. Whistle blows. Grimes jumps into a crab right type. Grimes just working the back crotch, driving into him in the near wrist. That's Duckworth flat on his stomach right now.
Thank you.
Duckworth is one of those sneaky, sneaky guys. You may think you have him, and he's going to explode and score points on you. So Grimes has been pretty cautious right now. He keeps staying behind Duckworth's hip, trying to bust him down. They go out of bounds, minute 28 to go in the second period. Duckworth set. Grimes covers. Whistle blows. Duckworth comes to his feet. Grimes drives him forward again. Slides him out on his stomach. Grimes working a near wrist. Grimes keeping the near in the backside, pressuring Duckworth forward. He's jumping off to a little bit of a far right type action. Duckworth comes to his feet, tries to turn in and square off. Grimes drives him out of bounds with a double leg. So no score. Second period, minute 7 to go. Duckworth will be still down. Duckworth set. Grimes covering. There's a whistle. There's an explosion by Duckworth again, trying to come to his feet. And once again, Grimes drives him back forward. Slams him out. Duckworth trying to knee slide under, trying to build a position. Duckworth fighting the hands right now on the claw, trying to control the hands. He tries to trip. There's locked hands on Grimes right there. Duckworth trying to set him up for that. So this is the first point scored right there after the locked hands on Grimes.
Got a little blood. Union County's Michael Duckworth. Going over and get that cleaned up.
Got a 1-0 lead. Second period. Union County looking for their second state championship here tonight. Cody Phillips starting the evening off with a rural rebound championship. Duckworth being a junior, I believe Phillips only being a freshman. Come back. The action started here. 42 seconds to go in the second period. The Duckworth set. Grimes covers. Whistle blows. We have a caution on Grimes early start. Duckworth set again. Grimes covering. There's the whistle. Duckworth tries a little changeover type action. Grimes fouls, pushes him down. Duckworth back to his feet again. Grimes has his hands out, trying to step, elevate, drives him back down to the mat. Duckworth looks like he's trying to fight the hands right now.
Hey, Brian is powerful, isn't he? Had a nice lift there and nothing.
Grimes has the near wrist, trying to pull it out. Drive forward. Drive to the closet for a stab type action. Duckworth comes to feet, squares off. Grimes penetrates through him. Drives him out of bounds. no points scored there, but Duckworth is going to take an injury timeout. I made the blood timeout. So it's still a 1-0 match. 1 point coming off the technical violation, locked hands on Ryan. They stop the clock. Duckworth coming back to the middle. And getting set. Grimes is covering. There's the whistle. Duckworth explodes to his feet. Squares off.
Wow.
Clears his feet. Gets the one escape. Grimes keeps coming into him. There's the one. They go out of bounds.
Couldn't hear the clock.
And the clock never started.
It just went off. Yeah, it just ended the period. And I don't think Ryan's at least heard it because he continued to wrestle.
So it's a 2-0 lead for Duckworth going into the third period. Grimes is down. He's set. Duckworth covers. There's the whistle. Duckworth coming to his feet. Grimes drives him back down again with a near arm shot and tight waist. Grimes keeps pressure on the hip. I'm sorry, Duckworth keeps pressure on the hip. Keeping Grimes flat. I'm not sure what Grimes is trying to do there. His head's up off the mat. But Duckworth is just staying on the hip. Looks like the official's counting something. I'm not sure what he's trying to count. If anything, he'd have to probably call Duckworth for not coming off the hip.
They're encouraged not to make the visual count anymore, the officials. Only on if you have the ankle and you drive it to his rear end.
So Duckworth staying on top, covering the hip, working
right
the head.
Around, around.
Trying to run a power half. Grimes is blocking out on it.
I'm surprised Majestic hasn't worn it for Stalin. He's been on his hips for about 40. He's got people in the stands yelling at him.
So 50 seconds to go with a 2-0 lead for Duckworth. He has not come off the hips for about a solid minute. Kind of surprised that they're allowing him to ride the hips like that. He called a stalemate. Brings him back to the middle. People want to see some action here. They're yelling stalling.
Yeah, the cat calls is coming out now.
This was just blocking
out.
I'm
not so
sure
they're justified in this situation, though.
This was blocking that out. He's just concentrating on this match. There's a quick start by Grimes. I think that's two on him, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah, he's got some problems getting the rhythm here. Well, the new rule changes, sure, with the pausing on the elbow and the elbow going last. I don't know if it's increased the false start, number of false starts.
Grimes comes straight to his feet, has a Grammy through. Duckworth follows. Grimes still trying to roll, but finally gets flattened out. Duckworth still on the hip, 30 seconds to go. Duckworth has not come off the hip this whole entire period. I can't believe they allowed him to wrestle like that. There it is. There's the warning right there.
Well, as one of our officials up north said, he's not a member of the St. Joe Valley Officials Association. Otherwise, he'd be calling that.
So, Brian set. Duckworth covers. 19 seconds to go. There's the start.
Chops him inside.
Brian's coming back to his base. Trying to build up. He's trying to roll.
Old-fashioned arm chop inside. You know?
He's got the cross wrist, trying to tilt action off it. 3 seconds, there it is. There's the state champ. Michael Duckworth. Duckworth. 2-0 win.
State champion. 121 now. Duckworth wins it 2-0.
2-0 victory for Michael Duckworth. He was more up last year than
he coached.
So he finally gets his state title from Little Union County High School. They've got their second state champ tonight.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're pleased to welcome the fourth man, a young man who was removed from the mat on a stretcher and taken to the hospital today. This is the afternoon session, but he too is back in the first place medal from Avon High School, Sergeant Jones.
Well, folks, no pressure on you here, but this is your match, and we've got Graver from Elkhart County, and I'm sure there's a lot of Elkhart County people tuned in to you right now.
Well, Northridge High School, I refereed my first gig this year was the year squad match for Northridge. And I remember Drew Gray was calling to me afterwards and thanks a lot for coming out. Like I did him a favor. And I think he won his match that night in the inner squad. But anyway, he's an outstanding young man. He's already signed to go to Cleveland State University, Division I school. And I believe his opponent this time was Northwestern, another division school, Northwestern. Mark and Shrewsbury. Both boys were runner-ups last year. Graber was a 71, Shrewsbury was an 89. As they're announcing the championship, Martinsville High School for Ryan. 160 pounds from the Artesians of Martinsville. They haven't had a champion for a while. Finally get one. All right, we're all set here. Chuck.
Another Barnett is on the mat in front of us right now.
Oh, sorry, Michael.
Seniors from Northridge High School through Graber.
Two seniors going at it at 189. Mike Fosner is your medicine
partner. Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury and Graber. Graber in green with a red anklet. Shrewsbury in a red singlet with green anklets. Front headlock by Shrewsbury. Tries the inside leg tripping. Inside tripping. Interesting to know, Drew Graber, we were talking at the break, has not been taken down all year. Now he's in on a crotch lock versus Shrewsbury's high crotch. Shrewsbury, keeping good pressure with his shoulder in there. Not allowing Graber to get the corner on him. Now he's changing off to a double. We get a stalemate and a fresh start. So two fairly strong young men out here at 189 going at it with 112 in the first period. Shrewsbury's already attempted a high crotch. Graber is on a single leg, straight ahead, goes into a, gets caught in a front headlock.
So you have to set his shots up a little better
now. Yeah, now he's got to circle out. And he's got the front headlock locked, says Shrewsbury. Tries to bang him down. He's trying to source him so he can knee kick him or inside trip him, it looks like. Drew Graber is not doing a very good job of clearing out of there.
Graber's trying to
fight the hand. And Shrewsbury's kind of pounding him down.
20 seconds ago in the first period.
He wants him to step that left leg so he can cross ankle pick him, I think, Coach. We go out of bounds here. Just the way he's circling him, it looks like he wants to try to get the ankle pick. But we get a fresh start.
Well, Graber's got to, he can't dive, shoot in like that and just give Shrewsbury those front quarters like that. He's got the elbow passes there. There's a little better shot.
Time runs out, 0-0 match. The flip goes down and it comes up green. Wait a minute. He defers and Shrewsbury will go down. No score in this match. Marcus Shrewsbury from underneath. Hit the switch in action to a stand up. Graber drops down on a leg. Shrewsbury's going to try to counter him out. Now Shrewsbury knocks Graber down, breaks his position, and he's going to give up, if he cuts a corner on him, Nothing yet. Graber is so strong in the arms. Shrewsbury extends the leg, gets the go behind for two. So Marcus Shrewsbury opens up the scoring here with a two-point reversal on Drew Graber from Northridge.
Offensive points scored against Graber this year.
I don't know if he's been reversed. I know they said that he hasn't been taken down. Graber attempts a stand-up. Shrewsbury pulls him back down. Shrewsbury kind of just hanging out, staying parallel. Going to a rear crotch. Looks like he's working on the rear wrist. Kind of a cross-base cradle modified. Oh. Kind of floating on him. And a warning for stalling has been issued to Marcus Shrewsbury, the Crown Point wrestler. It's 2-0, we'll get a fresh start. Graber's got to get some offense going on him. Gets a stand-up, cuts the hands, and gets his one-point escape. 2-1. Graber's got to get an offense going here on the feet to get back into the match. Shrewsbury, 2-1, by virtue of a reversal. 2-on-1 by Shrewsbury, near the out of bounds. Drives an underhook in, drives him out of bounds. Get a fresh start. Extended shot by Drew Graber is down blocked by Shrewsbury as he runs behind for two more points. 4-1. Marcus Shrewsbury as the period ends. Graber takes down, third period, trailing by three. Got some work to do, especially on his setups, coach. He's really opening himself for counter shots.
Well, he's in a good situation at 2-1. Could have gotten an escape right here.
Right.
Made a 2-2 match, and he takes a bad shot with about 10 seconds to go in the second period. Gets extended, shoots very easily, spins behind him for 2 points. Now he's got a 3-point deficit to make up.
Shrewsbury hooking an ankle with an air wrist ride. Drives in an occasional cross face. Now he's running a spiral with a leg hook. Trying to break Drew Graber down. Graber just gave up his first takedown of the season, according to some local experts, by virtue of a distant shot. Now we got a warning on Shrewsbury for just hanging on and riding, not attempting to turn an opponent. That makes it 4-2, coach.
Well,
I didn't expect that.
Tell you what,
that was a good call.
At this point, Graber can set him up and hit a switch or something for a reversal toward the end.
Get back in this match. Drew Graber on a stand-up, got his escape. Now we got a one-point match, 4-3, Marcus Shrewsbury. 105 left in the match.
He worked ahead a little bit. Once again,
Graber got the shot from the outside. And again, Shrewsbury down blocks him. He's just kind of hanging out, trying not to make a mistake here, where Graber's in a situation where he's got to force the issue. And he's burning time with this front headlock series. Now he's trying to spin behind, releases the pressure, and Graber comes up and gets neutral again.
30 seconds. Shoot him out right here. Shot right here.
Send him a message. Drives him out.
Hey, he should be shooting there. He's already gotten a stalling point. He needs to be working into him. Maybe he'll get the point. Tie it up. He needs to work in. He needs to change his level. Elbow passing. I'm not sure if he's going to call Shrewsbury stalling on that kind of shot.
Now, I think Shrewsbury's going to front headlock this out. Unless he gets called for stalling, but he hasn't really tried to improve his position. Marcus Shrewsbury.
Graver got into a situation where it was desperate to try to sit underneath and got dumped to his mat. And Shrewsbury's supposed to take down his team for a 6-3 victory. Situation where you gotta have a takedown going out to the top. The snap and front headlocks.
He never really even attempted to snap Shrewsbury down. Yeah. He just get in there and didn't really fight. He
had to
try to shoot
right
through Shrewsbury's hand.
Yeah, it might have been a little one-dimensional there with that play, Zach. Yeah. Alright, we're moving on here. As we only have two more matches left in this 71st annual individual state championships here at Conseco Fieldhouse.
So Crown Point at three state champs, coach?
Yeah, Shrewsbury's the third.
54
is the south. Mr. Walker could top two here. They got a tall order. It's Christian Lindsay Jr. from Mishawaka. We'll take on Bill Baker from Belmont, a senior, undefeated on the year. And Coach, I think you're on the call.
Well, Coach, this is a...
I don't know if these two
met. I think that Baker once again beat Cleveland in the semis here. 2-0. So Lentz gets his first shot at Billy Baker here.
Lentz is a specimen for a 250-pound junior.
He's all state junior football player. He was all over the football field.
And of course, Baker's a known state football player too for Belmont in 3A. Because they were a state
championship. Baker working ahead, snapping Lentz down. Baker going to the 2-on-1. And driving into Lentz. Even with the arm snapping here.
Well, Baker's pressing the offense right now. Moving forward, controlling tight.
So Lentz trying to get some heavy hands on Baker's head, but Baker just keeps pressing right through Lentz here in the underhook.
Baker must be pretty strong. You see him with an underhook, just pull him over. Kind of like, I want you over here.
And we just mentioned Lentz is quite a young man, so that was a...
Yeah.
So Baker's still moving in to Lentz, and that's just... That's a bad one back, though.
Well, he's positioned pretty well for a junior. First year of varsity.
Baker putting off a 2-on-1 there. So 55 seconds to go in the first period. Baker tried a little throw-by action there, but it's not really going anywhere right now. Kind of standing in front of him. Lentz squares off.
He's pressing offense. He's going to draw a warning. Although Lentz is doing a nice job of staying home.
He's a man over to report to the practice area.
2-on-1 wrist side. Baker's still walking through. Hits him, changes level. Lentz.
I'm drag double, if I.
Rotates out, squares off. Lentz is on a single. He pulls it up. Baker on the whizzer, they go out of bounds. So Lentz, actually a nice change, level change there. Showed some quickness there, Coach.
Yes, he did.
So Baker comes back with a little shot of his own.
And Baker hits it on those legs, and it's like hitting a telephone pole, it looks like.
And Lentz fronts him out. Baker squares off, clears out. 8 seconds to go in the first period, no score. Again, Baker's trying to shoot Lentz out, but Lentz circles back in.
Good exchange there, two big guys. Both guys are going after it. Baker wins the flip. Going to take down. Derek Snyder, the Mishawaka coach, his first Olympic. To keep him down there.
So Baker set. That's covering. There's the whistle.
This might be where he can beat. He's good with the legs. As Billy Baker trying to spiral to his feet. Lance trying to spiral him out.
Baker tripod coming back up again. Lance drives Baker back to the mat again. With the far right action. Keeping good pressure down on Baker. Baker throws a leg out, turns up short, and he's hitting
Baker.
Inside the pitch, Lance. Turns off the escape.
Baker
is pretty powerful, isn't he?
From all three positions.
Baker driving in the left again.
Constantly moving forward. That's what's impressive.
There's a level change by Lance. Baker drives back in. Lance will go out of bounds. 1:18 to go in the second period. 1-0 lead for Baker. Baker again moving into Lance. Lance shoulder posting off. Baker working the head. Lentz trying to post off. And a level change by Lentz again. Baker just trickles out. One minute to go in the second period. Baker still the 1-0 lead. Baker still moving into Lentz. Lentz trying to control the wrist. Lentz goes back to the head. Baker hand fights with him, kind of gets Lentz off balance. Lentz works a 2-on-1. Lentz going to an underhook there. Working the head. Both guys have the head. Working the head. Lentz tries to...
Oh, throw by.
Looked like Lentz tried to go to an ankle kick, and Baker threw him by.
Tried to secure the hips, and Lentz ran out.
And Lentz ran out of bounds on him, and the ref gives 1.3 in the match. So it's a 2-0 lead with 31 seconds to go in the second period for Baker.
Arm
drag for Lentz. Baker again driving into Lentz. Lentz is actually trying to circle back in, but Baker's just relentless on the
nice
throw by. Baker steps out of bounds. He had Lentz up in the air, was going to dump him back to the mat for two, but he stepped out with Lentz up in the air. So 10 seconds to go in the second period, still a 2-0 lead for Baker. Both men exchanging hand ties right now. At the end of the second period, it's going to be Lentz's choice. He's going to choose defensive position. Lentz chasing 2 points right now.
Well, if Baker's a typical Belmont wrestler, he's pretty well versed on his breakdowns. He likes to ride that cross
Baker
cover.
Looking at sideways. Kind of going over the side, forcing the arm. Lentz is trying to rotate out, but Baker traps the heel. Lentz comes to his feet. Baker locks his hands. Lentz is locking down. He clears the hands and turns and squares off, gets the 1 point escape. So it's a 2-1 match. It's 1:38 to go in the third. So Lentz trying to make this interesting.
Lentz keeping the pressure on Baker.
Lentz driving Baker out of bounds on a shot. 1:33 to go. 2-1 lead for Baker. Baker takes a 2-on-1 on the wrist. Comes off, works the head. Lentz is working the wrist. Lentz tries to change his level in on a double leg, trying to pop to the outside of the head. Baker fronted out, trying to snap him, extending him. Lentz kind of slides to the out of bounds.
Plenty of time. 1:12.
2-1 lead for Baker. Minute 10 to go. Fresh start. Baker moving into Lentz again. Looks for a throw by action. There's a level change. Lentz blocks down. Looks for a shot of his own.
I tell you,
Baker out.
Baker is impressive. He keeps coming after. He doesn't care what the score is. Most kids would be blocking out, you know?
So, Lentz trying to work the wrist. Comes up to the head. He has 40 seconds now. He's chasing a point right now. Level change again by Lentz.
Baker
just pressures in, cuts off the shot. So 35 seconds to go.
Lance could be gearing up for a one last ditch effort here, you know it.
There's a level change by Lance again.
Throw by. And a score.
Baker, he takes a 4-1 lead with 25 seconds to go. He drives Lance flat to the mat. From the sideways, covering a leg. He can just stay right there, 17 seconds to go. Looks like he's working the wrist. Armbar type action. He's got the armbar on Lance right now. Less than 10 seconds to go. Baker 4-1. That's it, folks. Will Baker, Belmont High School, undefeated season, 42-0. Here's the 4-1 victory.
So Baker's got a state football championship and a state wrestling championship right here.
By DJ Perot.
He's going to save the little guys for the big guys, huh? We're down to the heavyweight championship.
Mike Foster doing the heavyweight match.
Yeah.
Former state heavyweight runner-up. What year was that, Coach? I know you know.
87, I think.
87.
They followed each other down there. I think that's why we took the top three out of the semi-state. They were in opposite brackets, and it might end up wrestling Frost in the finals. Frost went on to play at Purdue, and Mike went on to Grand Rapids Junior College, where he was a two-time All-American, and Ferris State.
A pair of seniors with striking records.
Two seniors going at it.
53-1, Alexander White,
Mount Vernon,
from Winchester,
in the green England. Adam Shelfer, Winchester High School, state runner-up last year. Double unhook throw by Chick, and he slams him to the mat legally. Double unhook throw by body lift, dumps him down. 2-0, Adam Shelfer.
He's working the wrist.
Now he straddles White with a hammer lock. Chalfont going for blood right off the start.
I think people just want to see Chalfont cutting him.
They want to see him on his feet, you're right.
He's pretty impressive on his
feet. Now White building. Now Chalfont's got a wing. He drives him out of bounds. We're going to have a fresh start.
Chalfont's just an imposing figure. Who was the 89 pounder, 215 pounder from down south? Several years ago.
Castle? Yeah, I think we drew him in the first round. Chalfont breaks White down with a little bit of a rotator breakdown here. Got a scalar ride or a lace ride. Trying to wing the near arm, he was. Now he pulls him down to a hip. Having a difficult time breaking him down to his belly. Now he's on the lace right again. Now he's got a wing tied up on the left side. Adam Chalfont with a chicken wing. It was loose. He lets it go. Now he power has the top side, the right side. Alex White getting to his feet. Chalfont goes for a rear cross.
dumps him down near the out of bounds, and we'll have a fresh start. As referee Mike Faulkner whistles him out of bounds. Adam Chalfant, 2-0, 28 seconds in the first period. Hit a double underhook throw by, lifted, got behind Alexander White, and dumped him to the mat rather vigorously. Now he is trying to break White down. White doing a pretty good job of holding his base. Now Chalfant back hooks the top arm. Five seconds, time running down in the first period. 2-0 lead. Adam Chalfant. Here's the flip. Goes red. Chalfant defers. And Alexander White looks at his coaches kind of inquisitively and says, do I take down? And he does. Chalfant might be content with riding him. White gets to his feet quickly on a stand-up. Chalfant, the body locks him down. Front Trixon goes into a wrist lock, takes it to a hammer lock, takes his left arm across his body in a hammer lock fashion. Now he straddles him. Now he digs a wing. Now he goes forward with it, and Faulkner stops it as potentially dangerous. Mike Faulkner was on that pretty quick. You never know what the adrenaline rushes through some of these guys that they can just take the arm and rip it forward. Especially Chalfant, he's a pretty aggressive kid. All right, here we go, starting at 140 mark in the second period. Left in the period. Chalfant looks like he's looking for back hook. Now he runs behind because he was out in front of White. White from Mount Vernon comes from a long list of good heavyweight wrestlers, two state champions that I know of. Now, Chalfant is straddling White, looking for wrist locks. Now White builds a base with his head down on a mat. Now he's flat on his belly as Chalfant's trying to thread the needle, trying to look for a kill. He's got an inside leg lift. Now he's going to try to stack him. Warning stalling underneath. Now, that's a tough call because we don't know if he's being overpowered or he's truly stalling. But at any rate, Alexander White has been warned for stalling.
40 seconds to go in the second period, so he has to leave for Chalfant.
Now a switch. White comes with feet. Just one. 2-1. Alexander White kind of put him to sleep, and then he hit a switching action and got to his feet. Came an arm over the top, and there's a drive double by White. Out of bounds. What's the wrestling? And Chalfant turned his back to White, and now White takes him down. No, no point. Now Chalfant turns on, takes the leg. Unbelievable. Adam Chalfant thought they were out of bounds, turned his back completely to White, and White charging from behind. Took him down to Chalfant, put a hand on a mat, so he didn't drive the knee to the mat. And no points were awarded for a takedown by Alexander White. The referee, Mike Faulkner, pretty good call. Chalfant goes down in the third ahead, 2-1. Gets his 1 point escape as he tripods up. Now we're in a 3-1 situation. Both men on their feet. Chalfant driving an underhook in there. Looks like he's got doubles. Now he releases one and comes out to an underhook on the left side. Chalfant appears to be getting a little sloppy in his positioning. Now a throw by attempt by White. He's held his own so far. Collar tie and an overtie by Alexander White. Hanging on the head of Adam Chalfant. 1 minute remaining as we approach the 105 mark. 2-on-1. Chalfant going to a wrist tie with his left hand. Both men engaged in the collar tie now. seatbelt by White. I don't think you want to go toe-to-toe with Chalfont.
50 seconds to go in the third, Coach.
Chalfont on a double, drives it around, drags the coach, a two-point takedown. And Chalfont, with 39 seconds left in the match, gets a blast double, runs through and out of bounds for the point. Drags his toes, and a 5-1 lead.
Pretty impressive that same move right there. Dragging the toes, gives his 2-point takedown.
Now Chalfont has been issued a caution by referee Mike Farmer. Chalfont tight waisting on the other side. Jumps to the right side of Alexander White. White can put your sleep under here with a switch. Chalfont drops in on a double leg. We're still wrestling. Chalfont must be hearing whistles because he let him loose. That's the second time. 5-2. White on a lateral drive, falls to his back. And Chalfont lands on top for the takedown to secure the state title. 7-2. Adam Chalfont, Winchester, your 2009 state champion. Take this thing, John. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What's Faulkner going to do here?
Faulkner's not happy, I tell you that. The lift he gave Chalfont.
He's going to do, yeah, he gave him enough force for my conduct. But to no avail, I can't think he's going to it,
bro. Well, Chalfont tried to give quite a few points there. Very imposing specimen, though.
The scorekeepers are over there laughing at the bench. It's fun to try to impose. That's more of a nice penalty for taking the shoulder straps down before even shaking hands.
Yeah, Faulkner's doing the right thing. That's what it should have.
Okay, that wraps it up the state championship, folks. I believe we're going to stick around and give you the rundown of outstanding wrestlers.
I've got my money on Mars.
You're not a betting man, though, right?
4.1 GPA, two-time runner-up. Never finished lower, third in the state in his four-year career. Capped it off in the state championship. They not be him, but that would have been my vote.
I tend to agree with you. Plus, he's an outstanding one.
Take your wrestling to the next level. American Elite Wrestling Camps will be at Fairfield High School in Goshen, Indiana, June 22nd to 25th. Learn from Iowa Hawkeye All-American Alex Sirsis and Indiana's own legendary wrestling coach, Fran McCann. Whatever your skill level may be, if yours is to be the best, this camp is for you. Don't miss the chance to learn from some of our nation's greatest. Log on to AmericanEliteWrestling.com for more information and to register for camp. American Elite Wrestling, bringing the best to you.
Wow, we have a lot to do to this place, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about this a while. Here's what I want to do. I want to put in a new...
Uh-huh.
And over here, take this out and install one of those...
Yeah. Yeah, which means they'll have to... You know, we may even need a...
Yeah. Plus, we're going to have to get someone in here to...
Sure.
And put in a... Oh, then in the backyard, we should add a...
Well, it's whatever you want, as long as I get my...
Yeah. Keep dreaming.
At Key Bank, we know big dreams sometimes have big price tags. So when you're planning, look to Key for help. And with our wide range of home equity loans to choose from, we'll always have a smart way to make those dreams come true. To find out more, stop by any Key Center, call 1-888-KEY-1234, or visit Key.com. Subject to credit approval, equal housing lender.
Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser. What'd you say?
Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser. Are they attorneys? Accountants?
Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser. The name seems familiar.
Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser.
Maybe you don't recognize us because we don't advertise with a slick lizard, a complaining caveman, or cute cartoon. Have you guessed it yet? We're your local insurance agency serving Michiana for nearly 100 years. We take insurance very seriously and feel our responsibility is to our client. In fact, we take our role as client advocate very seriously, and once you hire us as your insurance agent, we will research markets and annually review your coverage. We're the people next door who are raising families, going to football games, and trying to do the best we can with this current economy, just like you. Whether it's your home, auto, or business you need to protect, we can offer a number of options to fit your needs and lifestyle. Call 233-9443. Cassidy, Neisser, Nebraska, here today.
And tomorrow.
For Hill Holiday and Verizon Wireless, this is PRLR Live Read. Tribe 2 with Samsung, Radio 30, Midwest. Code number YVWG-9196-0000. Mixed at Headroom, February 17th, 2009.
Introducing Friends and Family from Verizon Wireless. Unlimited calling to any 10 numbers, anywhere in America, anytime. Get it with any nationwide family share plan with 1,400 anytime minutes or more. It's the best value in wireless. Switch to America's largest and most reliable wireless network and save up to 50% on our best Samsung phones. Visit any Verizon Wireless communication store, verizonwireless.com, or call 1-877-25-VZW. Activation, early termination, and other fees apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Apletronics Computers is the place to find great computers, great service, and really great people. Stop by their showroom located at 2116 West Wilden Avenue in Goshen and see what's new in home and office computing. Their friendly service team is there to help with all of your computer repairs, whether you need a tune-up or a complete format and reinstall. New computers, high-speed DSL, Verizon Air cards, they've got it all. Mapletronic is your hometown store for computers and more. Give them a call at 534-2830 or visit their website at www.mapletronics.com. Are you wrestling over the thermostat with your family? Are high heating bills pinning you under the covers? Escape the winter blues with the new energy-efficient furnace from Stahl Heating and Air Conditioning. You can't match them when it comes to comfort. Take down this number and call Stahl Heating and Air Conditioning at 574-264-9485 or visit them on County Road 17 east of Elkhart. That's Stahl Heating and Air Conditioning, 574-264-9485.
Hurry into Verizon Wireless by Valentine's Day and get free activation on every line you switch with new two-year agreement per line. That's right. This is your opportunity to get America's most reliable wireless network.
All right. Recap of the finals here. Okay, so we're getting ready to announce the Mental Attitude Award winner right here. We're listening right now. Get ready to name it. I'll tell you what, there hasn't been much more deserving winner than Taylor Marsh. I think everyone right here in this table, all eight of us, that was our first choice, Taylor Marsh. Two-time runner-up. Guy's been to every single wrestling room in the state of Indiana. Gracious. And two runner-up matches. A third-place finish. Finally caps it off with a state championship season. A 4.1 GPA. Been about every wrestling room in the state of Indiana. Every coach in the state probably knows this young man personally. I can't imagine a person that wouldn't have voted for Timmy Man. Probably one of the most deserving people that ever bestowed this honor. So hats off and great applause to Taylor Marsh and his family. I'm sure a lot of people out there were in the same boat as us calling Taylor Marsh for this. I'm sure there are other viable candidates out there, but I think Taylor Marsh is probably the top of everybody's chart.
Bobby Cox congratulating Taylor March. YSFA. Well, we'll go through the rundown right now. At 103 pounds, Cody Phillips, your winner. As a freshman, capped off a 49-0 undefeated season. So a good start for a freshman. Trying to follow the lines of some of the classic four-timers we've had recently. At 112 pounds, your champion, Anthony Hawkins, the junior, finished 42-0. Only a junior, so he'll be back. At 119 pounds, Camden Upper, and in the classic epic matchup between Wright and himself. Camden pulls off the 3-2 overtime decision. At 125 pounds, Jason Princess. Yep, you know the name. 42 on the season as a freshman, but he brings home the state championship. So another freshman looking to be a four-timer. At 130 pound weight class, Francisco Torres, junior, 40-1. One step better than last season, being a runner up, capped off with a state championship season. 135 pounds. Your Medal Attitude Award winner, Taylor March. After a couple trips to the state finals match, runner up finishes. He finally caps his career off with a state championship, much deserved championship for Taylor March. Whole state of Indiana is very proud of Taylor Marsh and congratulates him on his finally achieving his goal. At 140 pounds, we get a repeat champion, Stephen Sandifer, 44-1 season from Mishawaka High School. At 145, Daniel Young from Culver Academies cast off a state championship. So three brothers from the same family with state championships now. At 152 pounds, Sean McMurray, the junior, backing up his state championship for the sophomore season, so now he's a two-time state champion, coming back for his senior year yet. At 160 pound weight class, Briary Runyon finishes off the 43-0 undefeated season for the 160 pound state championship. At 171 pounds, Michael Duckworth, state runner-up last year, caps it off by taking that next step to a championship. He's only a junior, looking to be back. Second wrestler from Mountain Union to win a state title tonight. And 189 pounds, Marcus Shrewsbury, 42-0. Wins a state title. Third wrestler from Crown Point to finish the season with a state title. And capping off 285 with Adam Chalfont, your heavyweight, a 39-0, wins the state title, and that caps off our state champion. So a great tournament, maybe one of the most exciting that I can ever remember in my career, going to the state final since 1979. Coach, it's been one of the best finals I've gotten to witness myself. Well, I think that's it for us. Thank you for signing in here. Well, I think you hit it earlier, Coach. You know, the scrambles have gotten better, and kids are understanding the scramble situations. And the technique has gotten better with the scrambles. And also, I also have to add to the fact that I think the technique in the state has improved. You're seeing younger kids coming up to the system, they're better coached. The coaching is starting to really develop and come up in the state of Indiana again. So I think all these things are probably leading to better matches. Well, Coach, I can quote a Hall of Fame football coach that I know. He told me that, hey, the two biggest things you need to be a successful athlete have agility and know how to compete. You know, and those kids are cross-sport athletes. You know, they've learned to compete in many different levels and many different situations. It just makes you more, makes them a more successful athlete. Well, it's a great 2009 season. Well, I'm ready to go back and read the blog, Coach. Thank you.